It's a very important relationship. We're going to get along good with China. I hear so many stories about we're not going to allow their students, or we're going to allow their students to come in. We're going to allow, it's very important, 600,000 students. It's very important.
I mean, it is official CFR globalist policy to deindustrialize the United States. On purpose, the Great Reset. We have all the carbon controls. China has none. It's designed to screw us. It's on purpose, Trump! China is testing. China is manipulating. China is seeing how far they can go with these probes. And when you put it together with their Confucian societies and $6 billion a year in the U.S. universities to control academia and biopoliticians, and you look at their acquisition of the media and the fact that they own four of the six big production houses in Hollywood.
Lacking farmland, China has struggled to secure food for its 1.4 billion citizens. Just recently, in August, four Chinese government departments warned a drought posed a severe threat to the autumn harvest. That has driven overseas investments in food, including the purchase of Virginia-based pork producer Smithfield Foods and partnership with Growmark, a grain logistics firm.
This entire system we see is being foisted by a handful of corporations and the Chinese communists. The people that run our country are out to get us. They're at war with us on every front, and you already know that. But as soon as we can get the bureaucrats and the woke leftists to just pull back and understand that they've been Stockholm syndromed and that they're helping their own abusers and destroyers, and they're pretending like they're part of some liberal revolution to create a utopia, as soon as they realize that this liberal utopia is meant to bring in total autocratic tyranny, and then they're going to have a backlash and ban the entire leftist system that they've injected into us to only paralyze us. In the next phase of the New World Order program, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be eugenics all the way. But they intend on making the world so hellish in the buildup to 2030 that everybody will just wink, wink when they release the race-specific bioweapons, starting with Africa, that are going to wipe that continent absolutely out.
Communist tabloid The Global Times explains China's Global Civilization Initiative as the third major global initiative presented by China after the Global Development Initiative and the Global Security Initiative. This narrative deceptively claims the initiative calls for respect for the diversity of civilizations, upholding the common values of humanity and pursuing peace, development, equity, justice, democracy, and freedom, and promoting robust international people-to-people exchanges and cooperation.
House Oversight says they've got bank records showing a Chinese energy company paying three Biden family members through a third party. What were they paid for?
Look, I'm just not going to respond to that from here.
He's telling us that he paid around $11,000 to complete the strip that's either paid to a cartel or different human smuggling groups. But he just arrived here in Texas, once again, just highlighting that this sector is leading the nation in those illegal crossings from Chinese nationals.
The emerging BRICS countries quickly fell in line behind President Xi's illusion.
We have lost people. Now, how much more bloodshed do we need to understand that the transition is upon us?
South African President Cyril Ramaphosa said that he fully agrees with Xi's initiative.
South Africa is grateful to the People's Republic of China for its support throughout the pandemic.
While UN water-carrying Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić also said that nation should uphold the principles of equality, mutual learning, dialogue, and inclusiveness. Equality from a Chinese government that is conducting a mass genocidal sterilization campaign on its citizens known as the Uyghurs.
Before eating, we have to praise or say that we are grateful to country, we are very grateful for China's Communist Party, and we are grateful for Xi Jinping.
This desperate man says he and his wife and children are starving. Uyghurs were barely allowed to leave their homes during the COVID-19 lockdown.
Mutual learning from a cover-up of a global lab leak that has killed millions and damaged millions more through the initial virus and its subsequent vaccine. Once the layers of propaganda are stripped off, that even American media gleefully engages in, Xi's speech is laid bare for what it is, the announcement of the impending emergence of a new world order carefully constructed by globalist think tanks for decades. John Bound reporting.
The ancient blue wizard is who I be. The magic of methylene flows through me. These wars of info have gone through the ages to keep your minds locked in cages. Break free from the lies and save your soul, or the demonic agenda shall reach its goal.
Upon this field, with steel in hand, I guard the truth across the land. No tyrant's crown, no foreign laws shall pierce the shield of InfoWars. This dagger's point, both sharp and true, defends the rights for me and you. So grab your phone without delay, and go to the website if you may. Order your dagger to stand in the fight, before the globalists turn out the lights.
It's Thursday, September 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
To the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday morning, the 4th of September, 2025. We got a lot to talk about today and a lot of videos to get into. We did a pretty fun Moonbase live last night. I was up extra late, but that's okay. I still have gathered the news, and we will present it here. We got more developments when it comes to China and war overseas, Venezuela, and a lot more. But I want to start with sort of an overview. We'll go to clip number 7 first, because I got a bunch of videos that I think just lay out some of the fundamental issues at how we're experiencing the world over. So let's go to clip number 7 now.
Correct about a lot of things, you just weren't allowed to say them for like 80 years. So the problems that those opinions would have solved, or at least kept in check, got bigger and bigger and bigger, and now it's all coming to a head. And it's not really a question of morality. People moralize politics too much. It's a question of anthropology. Like, it's a question of fact. Like, what is the nature of people, and how do we govern properly? The theory of the right is predicated on the limitations of human nature, saying that people are inevitably going to fall into certain pre-political patterns. People have religious, cultural, familial, and tribal tendencies, and you cannot just get rid of them. You cannot reorganize them. The best that you can do, like true governance, is incorporating those into a just hierarchy, a just and ordered structure. And too far right is trying to impose too much order, too much homogeneity on that structure, and that is not stable. It's actually crazy and tyrannical. But I think the basic theory holds merit. It's also a matter of degrees. To what degree can human nature be manipulated? And the left, the tendency is to think that it can be manipulated more, that people are more or less blank slates, and society actually imposes these structures onto us, and they should be overcome in the name of progress. That progress being, you know, equality and distribution of resources and power on basically every level, and the vehicle being the state, and the thing standing in the way being the religious, the cultural, and the tribal tendencies of people, as well as the natural tendencies of men and women. And the whole thing really hinges on which theory is essentially more true. And I think if you look at the general state of Western countries today, we went a little bit too far left, and it's not working well. The destruction of religion and tradition has left people more susceptible to stupid narratives and myths than ever before. The relationship between men and women is absolutely shot. The birth rate is in the toilet. And multiculturalism has not really panned out the way people thought. England is about to go through a civil war. People are getting arrested for flying their home country's flag in their country. And I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a right-leaning overcorrection, because the pendulum always swings back with extra momentum, which will cause its own problems. People are going to start making national identity their god. They're going to start worshiping tradition, and they already are, really. And I think the only answer, the only equilibrium, will be found in some political theory that balances out the facts of human nature with some moral goal that is not too high above it. something between hyper-traditionalism, hyper-nationalism, worship of one's own identity, and literal gay race communism, probably.
Yeah, probably something like that. And the ultimate upshot that we've been through over the last couple decades of the liberalization that we've been through, I should say, is everything collapsing into chaos and crime. I guess crime is the word to put for it. Just people abusing one another constantly, continuously, and without end. And, you know, even as that guy breaks it down, you know, he says multiculturalism hasn't worked out as well as people intended or expected. And I guess the question is, who expected it to go well? There's a reason that it's multiculturalism and not just homogeneity. It's multiple cultures trying to coexist. It's how would that not cause friction? What were they expecting to happen? I mean, if you think about it, how could the merging of two cultures go smoothly if not one culture is completely subsumed by the other? I mean, there's going to be friction. The definition of culture is, you know, the things that you do, your moral underpinnings, your belief system overall. If these two things are at odds with each other, how could there possibly be harmony? Unless they're so alike that, you know, there's minor differences that don't actually matter that much. But when you're bringing over, you know, fundamentalist Muslims and dropping them in the gay neighborhood of London, it's like, who expected that to go well? Nobody expected that to go well. You had people like us saying this is not going to go well and this shouldn't be done. The people at the top saying, yes, this is going to be terrible. Let's do it. We're going to be able to make so much money out of this. And then the people in the middle who were told by those second people that actually this is going to be great and super fun, even though they know perfectly well what they're doing, will inevitably lead to the complete destruction of one of the two multicultural groups being brought together. It is inevitable. Pretty much inevitable. You can have different types of Christians living together. You can have different types of Muslims getting along. You can have Christians and Jews to a certain extent. But you can't have, you know, equal power. One group always has to be the dominant group. It's just the way that it is. So again, it's not even about, like I said, morality or anything. It's just the fundamental reality of existence. And so let's talk about sort of the outcome of this, the path down which the world, it seems, is traveling, which is basically towards just anarcho-tyranny. I guess the word for it is just anarcho-tyranny. Because you have the collapse into crime, and then you have the simultaneous rise of the police state, the tyrannical state. And I got a couple videos that I think all combine to tell this story. Let's go to first clip number 3. This is Illinois Governor Pritzker, of course, responding to Donald Trump's position, his statement. I just put it in, Illinois Governor Pritzker. I guess it has a 3 on it from a different thing. But let me know when you get that in. Because we got a couple of these. And again, there's like a theme that you'll see here. There's a theme that I think you'll find developed. And it's that high crime places have a very particular response to the victims of the crimes. And that is basically get used to it. Here it is.
You're going to hear people, especially this past weekend, 54 shot, 7 dead.
Yeah.
They're going to say the city's not safe. Would you ask your friends to ride the L after midnight or after, you know, 9 o'clock at night even to come down to the city from O'Hare?
Look, big cities have crime. There's no doubt about it. But let's just pay attention to what President Trump is doing targeting Chicago. He's overlooking red states that have much higher crime rates.
Big cities have crime, guys. They have crime. Hey, big cities, they've got crime, you know? Houses have rats. nothing you can do about it. Crime exists. I mean, 54 people being murdered in a single weekend, gum being stolen from the store. I mean, these are all crimes, right? Crime exists everywhere. So what are you going to do? Nothing. We're going to do nothing about it. And this, again, is one of these bizarre situations where there's something very simple that they could do to keep, like, they are seemingly, man, they are mad Trump is sending in National Guard troops. I mean, that's the last thing that they want. They're so, you know, fundamentally against this expression of federal power. You know, the Democrats who are always the ones standing up against the expansion of federal power. Yeah, they're continuing that tradition by standing up against the deployment of federal troops on American cities. And they're, you know, they're just, they couldn't make it any clearer. They'll do anything. They'll do anything to stop this from happening, except, of course, you know, police crime. I mean, they could just police the crime. They could just enforce law and order themselves, and then nobody would have to step in because there wouldn't be a problem. But they're not going to do that. But they're very mad, and they do not want the federal government coming in to stop the crime. And they'll do anything except for the one thing that they should have just been doing anyway, stopping the crime themselves. If this is a big problem, if this is a big issue, very, very simple solution. Just put the criminals in prison. You just do your basic, lowest common denominator responsibility as a government. No federal expansion, no troops on the streets, no optic conflict. You don't have to go out there making outrageous statements like crime is in big cities. I mean, this is just crazy. It really is it's tough not being a big dummy. Yeah, I went off on this yesterday. I don't like just calling people dumb, but how do they get away with making statements like this? It's so far away from any, I don't know. It's like, I was having this conversation with Jake Shields yesterday on Moonbase, because the whole conflict for me is they put up something that said Owen Schroer was fired. They put up a post that said Owen Schroer was fired and insinuated that it was, because of Epstein and Mossad connections that Owen was investigating. They've since taken that down, by the way. So thank you, Jake Shields and the Fight Back podcast team. Even though I didn't ask them to, I didn't want them to, but I think they sort of realized, like, yeah, maybe this wasn't fair. And so I responded to this tweet by saying, hey, you know, he wasn't fired. Nobody said he was. He said he quit. So that's just false. And to insinuate it had anything to do with Epstein, that's ridiculous. We've been talking about Epstein and Mossad for years. So that's just false as well. And then in response to that, I get like, well, Alex one time said a verified, and again, we settled the beef last night, Jake Shields and I, we're okay, so I'm not bringing it back up. But it's just this, it's this thing to me where it's like, they say lies, I say, hey guys, these two things you said are lies. And then in response to that, I get five more things that I'm like, okay, so now I have to respond to all five of these that have nothing to do with the original lies. So like, why not just go, you know, yeah, you're right. These were wrong. You know, it's like, why bring up 5,000 other things to talk about all this other stuff? So it's like, okay, your city is a playground of murder. Your city, the city of Chicago, is an amusement park of death. It is just constant chaos, carjackings, hijackings, muggings, random people beat up on the street, left bleeding to death. It's crazy. In response to that, he's like, but Mississippi has a high crime rate too. And it's like, okay, we're talking about cities, not states. So you're just comparing two completely different data sets in the first place. What Mississippi's crime rate is has nothing to do with what Chicago's crime rate is. They could not be. They're not related to whatsoever, really. And so it's just, I feel like I'm in this constant state of befuddlement. Because it's like, who is talking to who here? Everybody's just talking right past each other. He's just bringing up random stats about red states. It just has nothing to do with what, and of course, what it really is an insinuation that the only reason Trump is deploying the National Guard is because he's doing it on political motivations, that he doesn't actually care about crime. This has nothing to do with just actually stopping the violent crime that's plaguing American cities. It's just a power grab by Donald Trump. So the whole thing is just a subtle insinuation that Donald Trump is just deploying the Stasis because he is Stalin or the Nazis, whoever the Stasis belong to. That was KGB, right? Was that the Nazis?
German secret police. Stasi.
The German secret police. It's the East German secret police. So he knows exactly what he's doing. He's not stupid. He knows exactly what he's doing. But this is, I think, just the frustration overall and just trying to get a handle on this stuff. Is it's like everybody's a freaking rhetoric master now. Everybody's a rhetoric man. There's no more just like, what are you going to do about the crime in Chicago? Well, here's my plan. Here's what I will do about it. Here is what the problem is and why there is crime. Let's try to solve it. It's like, have you asked the red states though? It's like, can anybody answer a question? Can anybody just respond directly to the point made? Or do we have to just spiral out endlessly into a whole bunch of kind of tangibly related things that actually have nothing to do with it and reframe the whole argument to be something other than what it actually is? Because you're just manipulating everybody. And they wouldn't be able to get away with this. People weren't stupid. So sure wish we could make people smarter, more smart, more good smartness around. That would be great. But again, it's something infuriating about it. But moving on here to more crime. I'm wondering what order I should go in. Let's go now to, I got so many good. Let's go to clip number one. This is in Canada, where a bunch of terrible things happen. It's too early for me to even tell you the details. Just people were victimized. And the response from the police is something to behold. Let's watch.
Premier can make his own statement and his own mind up about that. What I would say is, as our police service, we'll follow the laws as they're written. If the laws change, we'll change with the laws. But as it stands, we know the best defense for most people is to comply, as you've just heard, a number of safety recommendations. Will allow for those that are victimizing members in the community to leave and not harm anyone. It sometimes can fall on deaf ears when members feel like they have to take matters into their own hands. And the only thing I'd say is, if we are going to rely on our community members to take matters into their own hands to solve this problem, we have all failed our community. I've been down at Queen's Park. I've provided comments on bail reform. So have many of my colleagues across the GTA. And here we are again talking about it. And it seems like in some cases, right, we have not moved the needle collectively. Because this is not just a police issue. Unfortunately, when it becomes our issue, it's too late. So we need to do something about this issue around bail and about keeping those people off the streets that shouldn't be on the streets.
So I don't know if you understood what he just said, and I guess the context is a little bit important, but it's not for children's ears. Basically, there's a home intruder that killed a man who tried to defend his family from this person. And I don't know whether it was a separate incident or if it was the same incident, but at some point a 3-year-old girl was violated severely. Again, I don't know if that was the same instance or multiple occasions, but those were the events that he's talking about there. And his advice for people who are victims of violent crime in Canada is just go ahead and comply. Just do what they say. Just do what the criminals tell you to do. It's your best chance of getting out of there alive. Okay? So just be a victim is the advice from the Canadian government. So, as Canada collapses from immigration, from just general liberalness, from the sort of series of nationwide hoaxes, school residency, as the whole fabric of society tears apart at the seams, and as a direct result, as a direct consequence of the policies supported by the government, you're getting a rash of violent and horrific and sort of unprecedented in Canada crime. And their advice to you is just give the criminals what they want. Just comply. Just do what they say. Don't fight back. Don't stand up. Now, we're not going to prevent. I mean, the police, they're not going to prevent the crime. They're probably not going to show up in time, even if you're able to call them right as it starts. I mean, they'll show up later and they'll take the report and they'll clean up the blood for you. That's about what they do now. But if you ever dare try to protect yourself, you want to see the police in action? You want to see just how effective the Royal Canadian Mounted Police can be? Try to defend yourself. Criminals can run rampant. They can run wild. They can abuse you and not even have to concern themselves with the consequence. But that police chief wants to let you know it's your obligation and responsibility as a Canadian citizen to not fight back. Give in completely, hand over whatever the people want, and just to deal with it. Just deal with it. Just be a victim. I want to go back to this. I'm not sure he made this perfectly clear. A man was killed in a home invasion, and a 3-year-old girl was traumatized by physical abuse. And in response to these two things happening, the Canadian police come out and say, just a reminder, there are Canadians out there, just roll over, okay? Just bury your head in the sand. Just take it, okay? Let's watch this again.
Premier can make his own statement and his own mind up about that. What I would say is, as our police service, we'll follow the laws as they're written. If the laws change, we'll change with the laws. But as it stands, we know the best defense for most people is to comply, as you've just heard, a number of safety recommendations.
Pause it there. The number one defense is to comply. That might be the best slogan for the globalists I've ever heard. I mean, if they could imprint one idea on your mind to make their job easiest, that is it. The best defense is to comply. The best defense is no defense. The best defense is being a complete and total victim. Reminds me of that old football coach. The best defense is when you just leave the field. Let them have the ball. The best defense is when all the linebackers just lay down as soon as the... I mean, it's just... There's more to this. The whole West is like this. And for some reason today, there's like a hundred stories about this. Because you know what they're actually trying to do is confiscate guns. I mean, when they say they want you to be a victim, they're being serious. They're being very, very sincere at that moment. Just comply.
The last 5 years, I've had all these scientists on promoting spike protein detoxes that have saved so many people and done all this. And finally, we're like, hey, we better do our own. Let's make the best. We take the two best-selling ones, combine the two with stuff that the government tried to ban so people would die. And yeah, we're selling stuff that really works. Tell us about Ultimate Life Force. It's a horse pill. I take it a few times a year as a detox. So good for cardiovascular. Just one of the ingredients in this alone is on record a game changer they tried to ban. Right. This is so important.
N-acetylcysteine, better known as NAC, was widely available pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, during COVID, they took it off Amazon because it was too powerful. Too many people were getting well from it. They say, okay, this isn't a supplement. This is a drug. Now, we're not making that claim. This is a supplement, but it is a supplement that is so powerful it could be used and compared to something like that.
And what is NAC?
N-acetylcysteine is the main precursor to your body's master antioxidant, glutathione, right? Glutathione is what your body uses to detoxify everything. But most importantly, your lungs. NAC reduces lung mucus and is incredibly powerful. This is rocket fuel. This is the gasoline. This is the fuel you need to make the glutathione. But more importantly, even than that almost, I was taking a look at Ultimate Life Force, and I forget about these things. These things are something that they wanted to ban even more, the natokinase and the serapeptase. Those are compounds that go in and break down blood clots and scar tissue and inorganic things in the body. That's for the spike protein. The cool thing is everybody, every human can get healthy. It just takes different specific steps to get healthy. And that's why they're becoming knowledgeable about...
Well, that's like breeds of cows. They're like, these cows can handle the heat. These cows can't. These cows can handle cold. They can't. These dogs can handle this. These can't. We're all dogs. We're all cows. We're all the same species, but there's certain things each group can't handle.
No, 100%. I agree with that. And it's so key. I mean, the reason why Methylene Blue has just been such an incredible hit to the audience and to the supporters, listeners, to us, everyone, is because, well, like, we really feel the effect, you know?
It's like the Garden of Eden. God made all these things to work together.
It's all there. The information's readily
available. No, it's absolutely incredible. These are great products. They fund the operation. And, folks, it's common sense. Go get them. TheOffShowStore.com. Get the bovine colostrum, get the methyl drive, get the power plant, get the methylene blue, get it all.
What's cool about supplements, at least to me, is you're able to look at these different genetic groups, and then you can go, okay, they need help with this one thing, we got a compound for that.
All we did was go out with the top-selling products for all the studies and just combine them together.
100%. And I mean, you look at this product, the NAC alone makes it worth buying, but you've got four or five other things in there directly targeted to addressing COVID and long COVID.
People say, well, I don't have COVID right now. The point is, it's good for you, period.
100%. We've all got scar tissue in us. We've all got issues. We've all got these inorganic compounds, these microplastics. When you look at something like Ultimate Life Force, it might be able to address some of those situations. You look at this, you look at the other products we're offering you, it's kind of hard to do an individual pitch for them because they're all so amazing. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our Ultra Methylene Blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any, like, man or woman, young and old, if you're on Methylene Blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take. This is something so powerful they tried to ban it.
So the Methylene Blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is the nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. Welcome back to The American Journal. We're talking about our retarded little brother, Canada. And I'm just cracking up at the idea of this statement. Not that it's particularly funny. It's kind of horrifying, actually. But just how outrageously wrong it is. The best defense is to comply. Best defense is to comply with thugs during home invasions. I got some other ideas. What about shooting them in the face? Is that not a better defense? That's a worse defense? Sounds like a better one to me. How about hitting them with a big stick? Would that be a better defense, or is complying a better? What does that even mean? Yeah, the saying is the best defense is a good offense. That's obviously not what he's trying to portray. That's not what he's trying to get across. The best defense is no defense. The best defense is to comply. When do you stop complying? At what point do you stop complying? I mean, when they're asking you, when they're putting a gun to your head or, you know, a knife to your throat, and they're asking you to put your hands behind your back because they're going to zip tie you. I mean, do you comply then? And if you comply then, I guess you're complying for the night, right? I mean, I guess once you comply for the first step and they get you hogtied, then I guess compliance is an assumption, right? Compliance is a foregone conclusion at that point. You'll do nothing but comply. Yeah, I say don't comply. I say do not comply. I think it's always suspicious when you hear the government giving its citizens advice that a parent would never give their child. I don't know. I'm never going to tell my kids, hey guys, anybody ever starts messing with you, just do what they say. Okay. Just give in immediately. Now the reality is, I don't know the exact particulars of these events in Canada, but in terms of most violent crime that takes place, fighting back is the best option almost every single time. And that's from people who, like, you know, psychologists will go and interview criminals in jail who were caught after, you know, committing huge streak of crimes. And every single one of them is like, yeah, you know, if you fight back, I usually just leave you alone. I mean, usually they know if you're going to fight back before they ever attack you because, you know, you send signals that they're picking up on. And they tend to, they'll do interviews with pedophiles and they'll say, what is the number one thing parents can do to avoid their children being victimized or kidnapped, but let alone, you know, molested or anything? And every single time the people go, well, if they have a strong father figure around them, I stay the hell away. I don't even get anywhere near that kid. He's got a father standing over him. They're leaving that kid alone. But if you talk to, they've seen interviews with serial rapists that were caught. And every day they're like, yeah, if a woman, you know, they'd hang out in parking garages. It happened in Whole Foods a couple of years ago in Austin. There was a guy who tried to kidnap a woman from the parking garage. She fought back and they ended up catching the guy. Just don't give it. The government of Canada is telling their citizens that in response to the rising violent crime, the best defense is to comply. The best defense would actually be a mounted machine gun above the door, but there are varying degrees of effectiveness, you know, below that. But obviously guns are going to be the great equalizer. The ability to defend yourself becomes very simple with a gun. You point the object at the bad person, you press the button, and they go away. It's really super convenient. Really astonishingly easy and effective response. Probably more so than complying. Probably if the people wearing masks kicking in your door to have their way with you, they would probably you rather curl up in the fetal position than charge your shotgun, right? I'm just blown away that they would say that so blatantly and in that way. Because I guess the way, like, I guess the confusion is in his word of, in his use of the term defense. What does he think that means? You maybe could make the argument that the best way to simply endure something is to comply. That's not really defense. That's just being a victim. Defense implies stopping the victimization somehow. Maybe that's where I'm getting the disconnect. If he's saying, you know, the safest way to go through life is as a preening coward, then sure, he's got a great point there. But the best defense is to comply. Okay. It's like, you know, guys, if you try to run the football to their end zone, they're going to tackle you. okay? Who wants to be tackled? My strategy is we're going to run towards our own end zone. They won't even try to stop us. Okay, but what is the point here? Okay, but what are we doing here? Are we trying to win the game? Are you trying to avoid being tackled? It's just the best defense is to comply. That really needs to be on a t-shirt or something. It's like the modern Big Brother. That's the slogan underneath. They're the ones attacking you. They're going, man, if you really want to defend yourself against me, best thing to do is just do exactly what I say. Incredible. It's just, it really is absolutely incredible. And Godspeed to Canadians. Hold on to your guns for with everything you've got. But of course, they're trying to take them here too. Let's go to clip number 12. CNN panelist Jonah Goldberg floats gun confiscation on Americans. Good luck, sir. Let's watch.
All of this. And I'm all for crime reduction. But the conservatives who are celebrating this, you listen to the mayor of Chicago talk about the gun crisis in America. Well, what is to stop, given the precedents that Donald Trump is setting, what is to stop a Democratic, a Governor Pritzker, a Governor Newsom to say, you know, we have a gun crisis in America, just as legitimate on the facts arguments as a crime crisis, and say, we're going to send the National Guard into states to go get their guns. There have to be standards here. The reason why Pritzker keeps, I mean, I get it for the politics. He keeps saying Trump was begging me to ask him to come. The reason why.
Okay, here's the difference. Tell me if you can keep up. Having a gun is not a crime. Crime is. Crime is crime. Crime involves victimization. To send the police to deal with crime is a very different suggestion than sending police to deal with what is not a crime. Have I lost you here yet? When somebody walks up to a mailman and slugs him in the back of the head, that's a crime. When somebody owns a gun, that's not a crime. Are you seeing the difference here between these two? One of them is a bad thing that we have laws against. The other is a fundamental human right enumerated second in the list of our Bill of Rights. With something confusing. Now, here's the other problem. When you send soldiers onto the streets to fight crime, what happens is crime goes down. Because the people that they're dealing with are criminal scum, thugs, gangbangers who know what they're doing is bad and doesn't want to get caught and doesn't want to fight the National Guard. So even just having them on the street not doing anything lowers crime immediately because the criminals come sauntering out of the subway station, see the National Guard, and saunter right back in and go home. So it stops crime. And it's easy, and it's lawful. Very simple. Now, what happens when you send the National Guard to take the guns from a law-abiding citizen? A little bit different situation. See, they're not out there willfully committing crimes where they can just go, "Oop, I'm not doing that today," and go home and not commit the crime, and therefore not be subject to arrest. They're going to fight back. And they're going to kill National Guard soldiers. So what happens then? I don't think you actually need a high intelligence to be able to parse this sort of stuff. But there's this way these people talk where it all sounds so simple. And then you just think about it for a single second. And it's like, how did that ever sound? He's like, you can make the argument about crime being a thing, but you can make just as good of an argument about guns. And what if a Democrat goes after guns? And it's like, that is an insane premise. That is a ridiculous premise. The crime that we're talking about actually includes the gun problem that you're talking about, because it's the guns that are used in crimes that are the problem. The guns that are not used in crimes are not a problem. He's just conflating everything. They just make these blanket statements as if they make sense, as if they're logically sound or insightful or even comprehensible on a surface level, but they're just not. But clearly they're going to try to go after the guns. And from everything else that we've seen, I mean, I guess just add this to the list of things Democrats promise they'll do to Americans if they ever get back in power. Just add it to the list. Like, just know that this is the way that they're thinking. Is they defund the police, violent crime is a big problem in major cities. They refuse to do anything to confront that. They'll do absolutely nothing in terms of reversing that trend that they started on purpose with deliberate policies. Trump wants to send in the National Guard. In their mind, they're like, oh, good. Now when we're in power, we're going to use the National Guard to take the guns, because that's totally the same. Totally the same that cities are descending into chaos and law and order is being deliberately restricted by communists in power. And so federal forces are having to be used to, as a stopgap measure to stem the bleeding. Totally the same as we're going to send National Guards, the National Guard, to rip the guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens so we can then oppress them further to remove that barrier to our, you know, the further expansion of the totalitarian state. So, you know, as I've said a million times, this is the difficult position that we're in, where I don't want this to be, you know, normalized or the precedent to be set. But there's also just this, I don't know if it's naivety or ignorance or narcissism, self-importance, whatever it is that informs these people's comments, where they're like, huh, the National Guard can do it to gang members, then we'll do it to gun owners. Like, do you think that will be even, it's incomparable. It will be so different if they use the same tactics Trump's using to go after crimes, to go after guns. The streets will run red with blood. And not ours. Probably not the National Guards either. But the CNN studios will not be heeding their own advice and simply complying and going along with it. But we got more here. Because it's coming at us from both sides. We're in this pincer move of crime. We'll go to clip number 14 here, as we've got, of course, the crime bubbling up from the fetid lower rungs of whatever this is, I guess you could say society. But you also have it raining down on us from on high. There have been a lot of really powerful and successful Doge movements taking over at the state level as well as the national level. I got a couple examples of successes that they've had. This one is first in Michigan, where the entire government is operating very much like a classic New York City-style mafia family. Let's watch.
One of the biggest frauds we've uncovered in Michigan.
We've identified $5 billion of waste, fraud, and abuse in the state budget.
A lot of people are very, very concerned, oh my gosh, to have a budget that's under $80 billion, you must have had to gut a lot. Nope, we didn't have to gut, we just had to cut 4,277 phantom jobs.
You guys realize what a scandal this is? People should be prosecuted for taking money that was appropriated to hire employees and using that money for another purpose entirely.
Gender reassignment surgeries for prisoners. There are programs in there that don't even exist, and they're funding them. Like the Starbase, I mean, that was eliminated a few years ago, and they still fund it. We get rid of the arts and culture grants. They're real waste. I mean, you look at what they are. Glass blowing, barbershop quartets, all kinds of things, really. It's incredible the things they got away with calling it arts and culture grants. See, that's why Winnie Brinks doesn't want to get in the room with me, because I know the budget in and out. I don't know it as well as Ann. So they know if Ann and I get in the room with Sarah Anthony and Winnie Brinks, we're going to get a great deal because we know the budget better than them.
So billions of dollars discovered in Michigan as they've been creating thousands of no-show jobs for themselves. You know, like on The Sopranos, you know, like when the mafia takes over a construction site and says, hey, some of my men need jobs. They're not going to show up, but they need an hourly rate. And you're just bribing them. You're just paying for work that's not being done. And apparently that's just what the entire Michigan government has been engaged in for the past little while. Billions of dollars, thousands of non-existent jobs that are receiving paychecks every 2 weeks for years out of your tax dollars. And again, I don't even understand, like, it's such a condemnation of, like, our entire system when he says they're funding programs that don't even exist. He says the Starbase program, who knows what that is, ended years ago. It's still being funded. Where is the money going? How do you fund something that doesn't exist? Our corruption is becoming like metaphysical. This is like a philosophical question that we have to wrestle with. That's just how bad our corruption is. They're funding projects that don't exist. How does one do that? I don't understand. I don't understand. Because you just think about, I've seen YouTube videos of people being questioned because they stole $50 in office supplies from their work building. Because it's theft. It's $50, but it's theft. They stole $50 worth of pencils or a $50 hard drive, and they get charged with it. While meanwhile, there's God only knows how many dozens of people in probably the same building that they're being arraigned in. We're just quietly going, well, that $100,000 salary doesn't go to that person. Maybe it just gets rerouted into my account. Maybe I just reroute those millions of dollars over here and just put it in this bank account that I have access to and hope nobody ever audits this. And then just get away with it. You know, try lying on your taxes. See if you get away with it. These people, no-show jobs, non-existent programs, somehow still taking in money. Crazy. We have a program to study that. Where's the funding to study how non-existent programs still receive funds? Who is receiving them? For what? It's interdimensional corruption, folks. Bring up that tweet again if y'all would. I wasn't reading it. I was thinking too hard. A scandal is erupting in Michigan after state Republican lawmakers found 4,277 phantom jobs. Oh my God. So our corruption is, I don't know, spectral. We got phantom jobs, non-existent programs, phantom jobs. They're created and funded by Democrat leaders. You guys realize what a scandal this is. $5 billion in fraud or abuse found. People should be prosecuted for taking money that was appropriated to hire employees and using that money for other purposes, for another purpose entirely. There are programs in there that don't even exist and they're funding them. The programs don't exist. The employees are phantoms. Michigan is some sort of techno haunted house from hell. It's an interdimensional, incorporeal corruption. They have transcended the physical world and are now corrupt on a level that can only be seen on a spectrograph. All right, let's go to clip number 15 now. Here's the chief financial officer of the state of Florida. He probably has some good news, right? Let's watch.
I think it is very apparent that taxpayers deserve and have a right to know where their money is being spent. Now, I'm probably freaking out a lot of Orange County employees right now. My advice to you is when you are contacted and when you're going to be interviewed, do not hide the information. Be truthful with them. We know that people above you told you to go and change the information in an effort to try to hide the information from us. Don't lie to us, because if we have to, we will bring in FDLE and digital forensic units to find out exactly who did what. When I took office, I promised that I was going to be a fiscal pit bull when it comes to spending. I think we're proving here today and continue what we're doing every day that we are rooting out waste, fraud, and abuse, and I'm going to continue to hold those promises. I mean every word that I say. If local governments hear my voice, and if they thought me issuing subpoenas, investigative subpoenas, were just a throwaway, sort of like a threat to local governments, well, Orange County fooled around, and now they're about to find out.
So that's very good to see. Again, the question is, okay, you're finding $5 billion. I don't know if that's a year, if that's total, what amount of time that is. $5 billion in fraud, waste, and abuse in one city, in one state. And you multiply that by 50. And you just, I'm trying to think of like some sort of example. I'm just picturing in my head this giant sophisticated machine, but it's just like spewing oil everywhere. It's just got giant gashes in the metal and it's all just like, and yet we're still running this machine. It's like, at what point do we recognize there's more waste than not waste? At what point do we realize this hunk of meat we're looking at is more fat than meat? It's fat and bones. Like, how much are we just, it goes to show how powerful America is, like how prosperous we are. That's what I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of like a machine where it's like somehow we're still moving. We're a train and like the tracks are bent and broken and we're just spraying steam and oil's flying everywhere and the cars are on fire and half the train's derailed back there, but we're still chugging along somehow. Somehow America is so powerful that like you can just relentlessly cause a million problems for 100 years straight and we are still the most powerful and prosperous country in the world. Really shows you how powerful America is, but like it can't go on forever. There's a certain point. $5 billion. Like what other organization in the history of man could even spare $5 billion? And we're not even talking about just as like the national organization of the country itself. This is one state, maybe just one city of one state, and just what they found and just over the last few years. It's like, how much has been stolen from us? To put that in perspective, $5 billion is nearly a fourth of the education funding, 1.5 times the necessary funding to fix all of the roads, 1.5 times the Senate Dems budget deficit, 10 times the missing money for Medicaid plus child care in the Senate Dems budget, $500 million. Just filtered away, just tossed into the ether, just scooped up by ghosts, goblins and ghouls and these other things that somehow don't exist but are also stealing all of your money. They don't exist, they're phantoms. But also somehow they emptied your bank account. We're sorry to have to tell you this. We need a new system. I think we need a whole new machine.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I didn't know he was taking our ultramethylene blue. So I said, with all our guests, we asked him to take it. And you just gave me your brief testimony, so I would look, because I mean, this isn't BS. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes it. It's good for your cells. If you're on SSRIs, you can't take it. It's very serious. We have the strongest, and it funds this operation. You want to get it at thealexshowstore.com. Medical grade, USP grade, the best. Ultramethylene blue. So you sort of give me your testimony saying you love it. I said, hold on. I don't want to know. I want you to tell people on air, William. So when did you get it? What was the effect?
So I've been a health nut, people call me, all my life.
Well, you look super young for your age. So.
And so I thank God that I've been healthy. And when I take most supplements, a lot of people say, you'll feel, this big surge. And normally I don't. I just think, okay, I'm doing something right for my body and for my brain. And with methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy. It helps me... I keep a lot of late hours. I'm talking to people over in Europe or over in other continents, and so my biorhythms get all messed up, and so it really helps me with my sleep.
Well, be honest though, because you're saying your doctors, others told you to do it, just like mine did 6 years ago. I got it, USP, didn't really have the effect. My wife liked it, so she's been on it. We tried different brands. This one, I'm not trying to differentiate, it's just true. It's been way stronger for me. If you do have other brands you took that are as good or better, I want to know, because if there's something better, we'll go with them.
I haven't found anything better.
Now, back to our program.
Look, I know the supernatural is something that isn't supposed to happen, but it does happen.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. Second hour is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot more videos to get to, a lot more stories to cover. I'm going to open the phone lines for your calls this hour as well. I want to go to clip number 11 here since we have time. During the Australia marches over the weekend, massive protests in, I think, 5 cities in Australia. And there were some appearances for some pretty hardcore dudes. Thomas Sewell, is one of them. He, I guess, went to prison because of some of the fights that broke out. I think you should need to look at this and recognize that the entire Western world is on a certain trajectory. And it's one of street fights and conflicts ultimately resulting in a total overhaul of the governmental system in one way or another. Let's go to clip number 11 now. There's a fight between nationalists and communists at an Aboriginal sacred site. Here's the full story.
So there was this crazy fight that took place after the March for Australia, and a lot of people are confused as to why it happened. They're asking a lot of questions that I think can be answered by realizing there are two sides to every story. So of course, in isolation, the media are just calling it like a random sort of unprovoked attack on this camp. But the first thing you have to realize is that the March for Australia always had and always will have peaceful intentions. The only threats of violence came from counter-protesters, people who were saying they're going to smash the rally, they're going to stop it from happening, they were going to fight the riot, all this sort of stuff, basically trying to stifle ordinary Australians from expressing an opinion on mass immigration, and that is that they want to end it. So on the actual day of March for Australia, these threats to stop the rally, to smash the March for Australia, were actually trying to be realized. As people had finally rallied at Flinders Street to then march to Parliament House to then give speeches, blockades were being formed by those communists to then stop the march from going ahead, to try and keep us at Flinders Street. But even that failed because people just fought through them. They just walked straight through their blockades. And so at this point, the communists, these far leftists, were getting very desperate. So far, the march managed to gather, the march had taken place and reached Parliament, and speeches took place. So they had basically had total defeat, they'd been completely shown up. And so they got very desperate and frankly ungentlemanly and quite cowardly, because they decided that they're going to start attacking people who were leaving the march. Just old people, young people, anyone they could pick off who they saw were a supporter of March for Australia, people with the Australian flag, any sort of insignia that would show support for a patriotic cause to end mass immigration, were attacked. On the day, we were receiving these reports, but there wasn't really much we could do other than inform the police. And it was quite disheartening to know people were trying to get home and being attacked. But the actual individuals who spent the entire day fighting the communists, fighting the far leftists, who were trying to stop the march, were trying to attack the attendees, the ordinary Australian attendees, those same men ended up figuring out that the so-called camp sovereignty was being used as a sort of staging or a forward operating base from which attacks on ordinary Australians leaving the march were being carried out. So you sort of have the Shrine of Remembrance here, camp sovereignty near it on a hill, and then the rally sort of took place over here. And so people were leaving the rally, walking towards the shrine near this camp sovereignty, where these communists, these far leftists were running down, attacking them, and then receding and retreating back up to camp sovereignty. And so the nationalists who spent the entire day fighting these communists got wind of this, got wind that instead of attacking the nationalists directly, they're attacking the ordinary Australians who stood behind them during the march. And I guess, according to Notice of News, they were furious and they took the fight to them. Instead of allowing them to cowardly pick off random Australians, the nationalists showed them up on their home turf. That's really as far as I know. The courts will have to decide whether that was legitimate. This is a second side to the story that you're not going to hear anywhere else.
And I wonder if they're going to learn from the way the Proud Boys were treated here in America, because obviously the problem is that when you have a judiciary that's been so captured by leftists, they will just not punish the left-wing agitators. I mean, you can have a peaceful event, a bunch of black-clad communists show up with bats, start hitting people, and then when the nationalists start fighting back, they'll be the ones arrested and thrown in jail for years. So hope they're able to avoid that fate. But I'm not sure how they're going to thread the needle of Australian law when it comes to that. Well, you love seeing it. Love seeing them fight back.
We've got 25% off store-wide for all apparel, but we've decided this week to sweeten the deal by giving you buy one, get one, 50% off for either the Shilajit Complex capsules or the Shilajit gummy. These gummies are delicious. They boost your testosterone, your vitality, and so much more. I take them every single day, and I've noticed a marked difference in my life. It doesn't stop there. We've got buy one, get one, 50% off for Atomic Defense as well. This is designed using ingredients that have been used for thousands of years to boost immune support. So please go to the alexjonesstore.com right now. It doesn't stop there. We are officially launching the Alex Jones War Bonds. You'll see here that there's a code right there. You can pause it. The first person to use this code does get $110 on the store. The way it works is you pay $100, you get this mailed to you. It comes with a custom code that will allow you to get $110 in store credit to the store. So pause it. First person to use this code gets $110, and make sure you show your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hour of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
On this Thursday morning, we're going to take your calls this hour. I'll go ahead and open up the phone lines, maybe this segment. We have a lot still to cover. I haven't even really gotten into a lot of the day's news, but I still have a lot of videos to show you. They're a little bit my priority here, but I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is where you go to support this mission of rescuing humanity from the clutches of the globalists. Buy one, get one, 50% off on Shilajit and Atomic Defense. Right now, as part of the Total War fundraiser sale, we've enhanced the sale on thealexjonesstore.com to supercharge our efforts in the information war. Now, not only do you get 25% off store-wide on all apparel, but we're also offering buy one, get one half off on Atomic Defense, Shilajit gummies, and the Shilajit capsules. Plus, we have launched the Alex Jones War Bonds. Get your war bond now for $100 and receive it in the mail with a promo code for $110 in store credit. Again, if you are a regular shopper at alexjonesstore.com, I don't know why you wouldn't do this. We're just giving you $10. So just, again, I don't even understand the economics on this. It seems like we're literally just giving money away. So just go get your money at thealexjonesstore.com. Go get $10 on us. By purchasing an Alex Jones war bond for $100, we'll send you a certificate for $110. Or you can give that as a gift. I think it's sort of a cooler and more unique gift certificate. You got somebody with a birthday coming up. It's a great gift to give them. And get $110 worth of supplements, apparel, and all sorts of other awesome stuff like the knives at thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let him know who sent you. Now I want to play a video from our friend at Trans Splendor, Alex Cargill, clip number 19. Well, I'm not exactly eager to continue to, you know, litigate the drama with Owen leaving. I do think as like a final word, Alex Cargill just nailed the interpretation of what's going on. And he's also very complimentary of me. But that's not why I'm showing this video, although I do appreciate it, Alex. Thank you very much. I'm all very, very humbling to be complimented this way. But outside of that, I think everything Alex Cargill is saying is completely accurate and a very insightful interpretation of events. Let's watch.
All right, guys, just going to weigh in on the Owen Schroyer InfoWars Harrison Smith drama that's unfolding right now. Originally, I was just hoping that it was some kind of theater, maybe even an op, a creative op to make people think and do certain things where Alex and Owen pretend to part ways. Maybe there's some scenarios that would be a manufactured chaos that would benefit them. It would only be doing what the deep state operators are doing on a macro level with the Department of Justice and all the organs of government. So I wouldn't fault them for running their own operation. I remember hearing about Trump releasing, you know, fake leaks to find out who the leakers were. Genius. Do that type of stuff. But it looks like it's just, it might be just organic ego play here. And it makes it so easy to see what whisper campaigns can do. The whisperers are out there. And they're in the ears of Jake Shields, and they're in the ears of Owen Schroyer, and they're in the ears of AJ. Maybe not Harrison. I haven't seen any glitches with Harrison. His behavior has made sense, and he has me on his show, so I'm biased. But his behavior's always made sense, and I challenge anyone to dispute that. Now, Jake is focusing on the last time we made fun of you for not covering the Jays, man. That's when you logged off. Remember you had to log off? Well, I don't remember Harrison ever having not been a skeptical Zionist observer. So he has never been shy of criticism of Israel. I think the only reason he was going dark or going quiet, making you think you won the argument, was that he's got more things to think about than just himself at that moment. He is employed by Alex Jones. Alex Jones is under intense lawfare. Who knows what snakery is going on in the background? I mean, full weapons and arsenal of the deep state have been unloaded on Alex Jones. And I still don't hear objections to Alex that would merit the type of bailing that people do on him all the time. It could only be your own egos and trying to build your own thing. Let me just remind you, out of all the people arguing here, Alex Jones could break the internet every time he goes on Rogan. I don't know why they don't do that. Why don't they just break the internet over and over and over again? No matter what we think of him, he is always a positive unifier. He doesn't say bad things about many people. He doesn't trash many things. He leaves every door as open as he can, every bridge as maintained as it can be. So he doesn't talk in the harsh realities that people have been cultivated. And I understand. People who have been calling out Jewish hegemony over world events and media for a very long time have been out there alone, marginalized. And you want to get that? It's about fucking time. We've been here for like 6 years. You guys are just fucking realizing this. And there's all that kind of energy coming out of that camp. But there's also people in your camp that are part of the censorship run mainly by Israel propaganda and Jewish propaganda to drop agents into your groups, make you say dumb shit that they can then say, see, this is proof that they're complete bigots that lump us all in and think that we should all be kicked out. But there's another group of people who are opposed to Zionism. They're opposed to Jews that are doing bad things, but they find it strategically useful to be careful with their language. Ian Carroll, this guy comes up as one example of that. He talks very carefully and letting everyone know, look, I think that most Jews are going to be great. You got to remind people of that constantly. Not because you're accepting their premise, man. Just let them call you racist. No. Right now, you want to win over minds of people that you live in a society with. And they enjoy being reminded of things. Things that have been bred and inculcated into them through repetition need to be unwound with repetition. So I'm not just going to say, yeah, of course, I'm a fucking racist. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, by their standard that I am. But I want to explain that they have a new standard of racist every time I get a chance to talk to them. That repetition is just as valid a strategy as yours. So anyone that doesn't go as hardcore as you, you might be taking the bait. You might be talking as sloppy as they want. They are starved. They've created the demand for Nazis. They just need the supply. And they actively infiltrate groups, dress up like those groups, get those groups to speak in the clumsiest ways possible that they can then incorporate into a database to then provide to a judge to say, this is the reason we got to shut down freedom on the internet. Look at how they're talking. So you need more Jared Taylors on your side. And Alex Jones is one of those. He recognizes what's going on. He just doesn't want to lump all. He still wants to be careful with his words. I know you have a problem with that. It doesn't mean you're right, though. Your strategy may very well be wrong. And there is evidence to say it is wrong because that is what the authorities are dressing up and doing at full volume to paint you as ideologically motivated extremists. So, you know, you can have this battle. You guys can duke it out. But I know that Harrison has been the most vociferous anti-Zionist since the project started genociding Gazans and really pushing the threshold for a lot of people, taking the false flag of October 7th and running with it. But that's my stance on the matter. I wish Owen well. He's a really great broadcaster. But guys, face it, Alex is like, fucking, we're orders of magnitude Owen Schroer is not overtaking Alex Jones. No one is. So just show a little respect. Keep a little respect in your mouth. And I really do hope this is all like a World Wrestling Federation or whatever it is, WWE style scripted event.
I wish it was, Alex. That's Alex Cargill at Trans Splendor. I retweeted it myself. I think he nailed it in the, you know, the overall 30,000 foot view and where all this, breaks down. And we can move on now. We got too much news to keep talking about, the drama stuff, but I'll take your calls. And if you want to bring it up, then we can discuss it then. But we got some horror shows to get into. We got some just, crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. So let's get into that. But I do, thank all of the supporters out there that see the truth for what it is, that can, you know, have the, I don't know if it's intelligence or just attention span or whatever it is to see through all the nonsense and get right to the heart of the matter. And I think Alex Cargill does that better than anyone at Trans Splendor on X. Awesome stuff. Now, are there more videos I can go to? I don't even want to read this stuff. I mean, what time is it? 9:15. Still too early. It's still too early to get into this stuff for me. But I'll read it. I'll read the headlines. Just put your kids out of the room. Automated sextortion spyware takes webcam pics of victims watching pornography. Sextortion-based hacking, which hijacks a victim's webcam or blackmails them with nudes they're tricked or coerced into sharing, has long represented one of the most disturbing forms of cybercrime. Now, one specimen of widely available spyware has turned that relatively manual crime into an automated feature detecting when the user is browsing pornography on their PC, screenshotting it, and taking a candid photo of the victim through their webcam. On Wednesday, researchers at security firm Proofpoint published their analysis of an open-source variant of InfoStealer malware known as Stellarium, and the company has seen it used in multiple cyber criminal campaigns since May of this year. The malware, like all InfoStealers, is designed to infect a target's computer and automatically send a hacker a wide variety of stolen sensitive data, including banking information, usernames and passwords, and keys to the victim's crypto wallets. Stellarium, however, adds another, more humiliating form of espionage. It also monitors the victim's browser for web addresses that include certain not-safe-for-work keywords, screenshots browser tabs that include those words, photographs the victim via their webcam while they're watching those images, and sends all of the images to a hacker who can then blackmail the victim with the threat of releasing them. So cover up your webcam, folks. I just fix that problem. Everybody should have their webcam covered
up.
Do you want to see this? No, it doesn't matter. Just cover up your webcam. You're not doing anything bad. You're not doing anything immoral. Just cover up your webcam anyway. See this? See this little thing? We used to sell these at InfoWars store. I don't know if we still do. There's a little thing here. You just cover it right up and nobody can watch. Isn't that cool? Isn't that amazing?
Hey, I've got a brilliant idea for you. How about you embrace this trend and then you use it as a springboard to launch your OnlyFans? Okay? Yeah, there can only be one.
Hey, the best defense is to comply. I say be proactive. Send these hackers your images.
Did you just see that epic callback? If you're in the audience right now and you've been watching the whole show, give us a follow.
Drop a
like.
Smash
that subscribe. Especially on Rumble.
Just give in, comply. The best defense is to comply. So I say just be proactive. Send your embarrassing photos out to everyone you know. So when they try to blackmail you, you can be like, dude, they already got this. You think those are bad? You should see what else I send them. But, and the sort of weird thing about it is, to me, and I would think to everybody, Facebook wants you to send naked pics of yourself to prevent revenge porn. There you go, folks. Forget the best defense is to comply. The best defense is to actively contribute to your victimizer. That's the best defense. The best defense is to actually join the bad guys in victimizing yourself. Incredible philosophy we're working out here. The weird thing is, and I think everybody would agree with me, the act of taking over somebody's web camera and taking photos of them without their knowledge of or permission is by far worse than anything anybody is looking at on their computer. Like any porn you're watching. Well, okay. Maybe, okay. Well, maybe I shouldn't go that far. But the average person indulging themselves of an evening, is just nothing compared to the repulsive action of spying on somebody and taking pictures of them without their permission. So I don't even understand how this would work anyway. It's like, isn't blackmail supposed to be something that's like humiliating? And I don't know, I guess you're watching weird stuff and they have your browser tabs, but where's the proof of that? Like, who's going to be like, something stinks about this, actually, now that I think about it. It doesn't make any sense. You're telling me they're going to send out a photo of you with your webcam, just like looking at the screen. And then they're going to send an image of tabs to like who your friends and family and go, trust us, this is what he was looking at when we took this picture. There's no way to prove that like you took that picture while they're doing anything. So you're literally just like, do you know that we're going to tell all of your friends that you have a sex drive. So you better pay us. You better pay us up or else everybody you know is going to know that you like naked ladies. It's like, that's actually not that bad of a thing.
Have a weird foot kink.
But they can't prove that. Is that how easy
it is? Not unless you embrace it.
I mean,
just let go of the shame. Okay?
I'm saying if this is really how blackmail works, I could literally
Matt,
when you're later editing the show, I'll pop up from behind the screen, take a picture of you.
Okay.
And then send somebody that picture of you looking at the screen along with a screenshot of tabs of pornography sites and go, this is what he was looking at. Trust me. Trust me. This is the weird stuff that Matt was looking at that moment.
It was worse.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. There's no proof that the images of the tabs is related to the, anyway, it's just, there's something weird about that, but it's still creepy. I don't know. Have at it, India. Have at it, Nigeria. We're fulfilling the dreams of internet scammers everywhere. I don't know. That's very weird. But it's just a reminder that all of this, anything even able to connect to the internet, can be spied on. Anything, even electronic, that doesn't even have to. I mean, there's stories out of China where they're like hacking into light bulbs that aren't even in the smart light bulbs. I mean, there's some crazy technology out there these days. So just do what you can to protect yourself, protect your privacy. Maybe get a privacy pouch of a Faraday cage of some sort. At night, definitely be covering your webcams. I mean, this is basic stuff, folks.
What I would say, though, for people who want to extort others on the internet, I would say make a website about cheating on your spouse. All right?
There you go. Blackmail.
And then say
that
you'll connect people with other people, but then really they're just entering blackmail zone. They don't know.
Tale as old as time.
There's no Chad.
There's
no Chad.
Jeffrey Epstein just lost his job to a robot. I think the first job to be replaced by AI was that of Jeffrey Epstein, international blackmailer. So that was a weird story. But just a reminder of how false our perception of privacy is. And just a reminder that it's just a reminder that like the schizos from the early 2000s were right about everything. It's like every decade sort of has their prophets that everybody sneers at, but turns out to be dead on accurate. You have the fundamental Christians in the 1980s warning about the rise of like devil worship, cut to 2025. And they're literally worshiping the devil on live TV and music events. In the 90s, you have like probably the In a Woods militia guy. I was right about everything. But the early 2000s schizo that was telling you to cover your webcam, and the birds were spies. They were right. They were right about everything. Which is sort of telling that the people most likely or most often predicting woe, the people who are, you know, convinced that everything is evil and everything is bad and everything is going to crap, turn out to be right all the time? How does that, why does that keep happening? Why does that always happen? All right, we got this story that I've sort of been waiting for a while. And it's the response to the federal government from Lauren Chin. And I think what happened to Lauren Chin was a complete politicized act of oppression. I don't think there was any legitimacy to how any of it went down. If you remember, she ran Tenant Media, which got funding from people that turned out to be Russian. The DOJ investigated this, essentially determined that Tenant and all the other people that they were associated with had no idea that they were being scammed. The official DOJ position was these people were victims, not perpetrators. At least I'm going off memory here, and I'll read the story in just a second. But they may have had a different statement for Lauren Chin and her husband who were running it, but certainly for Tim Pool and all these other people that were associated, they totally cleared their name. But they did it in a way that made everybody think that they were guilty of something. And still to this day, I'll watch videos on YouTube of leftists, and they'll talk about Tim Pool and go, oh, but he's funded by he's a Russian propagandist being funded by them. That was never said by the government. Like, they never made that claim. They made the exact opposite claim, in fact. They said, we investigated this fully, and we've cleared Tim Pool and all these other people of any wrongdoing. They were scammed. And that's it.
Imagine that, getting scammed and coming up on hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's crazy.
Crazy scam. It's a crazy scam.
Scam me.
Where they give you a ton of money.
Me.
Yeah, right?
Scam I want to fall for this scam.
But how they treated Lauren Chin and her husband again, it was so over the top. And sort of ever since that happened, Lauren Chin's just sort of disappeared, gone away, like faded into the background, stayed silent. Legally, that was probably the right thing to do. But she's finally come out to tell this story. And I think this is one of the most important media stories in the last decade. I think what's happening to Alex Jones is right up there. There's a whole bunch of other, I mean, they're going after everybody, folks. They're going after Alex Jones and InfoWars, obviously. They've gone after VDare. They've gone after Gateway Pundit. They've gone after Postmillennial. I mean, they go after everybody in whatever way that they can. The way they went after Tenant was by going after their international funding. They clearly did it in a way that was designed to achieve a couple important objectives for the powers that be. To discredit the dissident right wing and give the enemies of the right wing talking points in order to discredit the right wing, even though they're fake. To, you know, chill the effect of people trying to build media companies independently in this country. To frame the media landscape in a way to sow suspicion. But in reality, what they really wanted was to arrest right-wing journalists. This was a flagrant attack against the First Amendment. I think, along with other things Merrick Garland did, I think he should go to prison for this. I genuinely think Merrick Garland should be charged with the crime for how he treated Lauren Chin and her family. And we'll tell you about it on the other side.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, know me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah, I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I got to get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultra Methylene Blue, TheOxygenStore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'll be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Well, we have a very brief update, but an important one to the ongoing saga of little Lady Braveheart, Lola of Dundee, the little girl with the knife and the axe in Scotland. The update from ANC Aesthetics on X. Just heard from the family that the gypsy gangster migrant Fatos Al Dumana and his sister have now been charged for assaulting a minor. Police statement incoming. Some people should probably start deleting tweets. So yeah, apparently the guy filming the video has been arrested, he and his sister, for assaulting a minor, confirming what we've been telling you was the story the entire time. These were girls defending themselves from a migrant who was aggressively approaching them. And that's why you trust InfoWars. Tomorrow's news today. Well, there were people were telling you, let's hold off and not. It was obvious from the beginning what was going on. And so hopefully, against all odds, there will be some justice there in Scotland.
But again, let's go back to this story from Lauren Chin. I really am like, you would think at a certain point you stop being shocked at the outrageous behavior of our government. But there really is no bottom to this bottomless hole. It just goes on and on. I almost just want to read this whole thing verbatim. It is, honestly, the details of this are just completely insane. It's from givesendgo.com/Lauren Chin. Help Lauren Chin fight the DOJ. She says this. Last year, the FBI sent 30 armed agents to raid our house, waking myself, my husband, and our two-year-old daughter up in the early hours of the morning. I was 4 months pregnant at the time. In a press release later that day, Merrick Garland and the Biden DOJ painted myself, my husband, and our company tenant as Russian propagandists intent on sowing division and interfering in America's elections. Of course, those allegations were untrue. The FBI and DOJ may not appreciate the conservative and right-wing social media content we publish, but it was solely the product of our creators' sincerely held beliefs. We merely licensed their creative content, which they had complete control over. Ultimately, we were never charged with any crime, much less brought to trial and convicted. Now, this is the key thing to understand in all of this. Everything else that happens has to be understood in the context that these people were never charged with the crime, never convicted of anything. So what we're about to lay out, what I'm about to lay out for you here, what Lauren Chin lays out in this post, is how Merrick Garland and the DOJ flagrantly violated the Eighth Amendment, blatantly punished people without convicting them for a crime. Now, if you want to talk about a violation or a betrayal of the most fundamental ideas of America, one of them has to be that the government is not allowed to impose punishment upon you without first giving you a fair trial. And this is one of the things that the Democrats are very good at getting around. It's what I always brought up when it came to the January 6th trials, that it was a fundamental violation of everything we're supposed to believe about justice itself. Because you had only the prosecution presenting evidence. You never gave the accused the right to defend themselves. It completely upends our entire concept of justice to deprive the people accused of their ability to defend themselves in an open court. And that's like the most, you know, flagrant, blatant violation. You can get down to the nitty gritty when it comes to Brady violations, withholding exculpatory evidence. I mean, it goes on and on. But they're dismantling this because it's inconvenient to them. And you'll hear what the DOJ put these people through, put this family through. 4 month pregnant woman with a 2-year-old daughter and her husband go independent, make content, are successful. But because they, you know, got tricked because they didn't do their due diligence in finding out exactly where their funders got their money from. Like, they didn't do anything illegal. Long story short, they did not do anything illegal at all, and yet, wait till you hear what happened to him. She says, nevertheless, the FBI and DOJ, specifically the Southern District of New York, where all of this crap happens, inflicted a huge amount of damage to our lives. That is why we now regrettably find ourselves asking for assistance towards our still mounting legal costs. Over the past year, we have accumulated over six figures worth of lawyers' fees for ourselves and our company, not just in America, but in Canada as well. What has made the burden of those legal fees even harder to bear is the fact that the FBI, during their raid on our house, also informed us that they were freezing and later seizing the contents of our bank accounts, which include our life savings. Although the investigation into us and our company has closed with no charges or convictions against us, the Southern District of New York has refused to return any of our funds. They accused these people of a crime. They stole their life savings out of their bank account. They raid their house with 30 armed agents at 2 a.m. with a 4 month pregnant woman. She easily could have miscarried. That's happened multiple times with things like J6 defendants, pregnant wives, door kicked in and their husband hauled away in the middle of the night and they end up miscarrying the next day. It's absolutely brutal. To make matters worse, while at the time we did have some other bank accounts not touched by the FBI, those funds were quickly depleted by corporate costs we suddenly found ourselves personally liable for. And she goes through the fact that she was, you know, they had to basically cover all of tenants' bills when they, you know, closed access to the tenant bank accounts. So we spent much of our much of the last of our own personal money to fulfill our obligations to our workers and to cover all expenses Tenet had incurred during the previous month, tens of thousands of dollars. And if this past year wasn't costly enough, immigration issues have also contributed to our bills and legal challenges. They're from Canada, and I believe they live and work in America. We have been on a work visa through our company since 2022, and that was up for another renewal in January of this year. Evidently, although the FBI said we were always free to continue to do business, their actions and public statements made this impossible in practice. We were debanked by most institutions we held accounts with. Most of our social media platforms were banned, and our public reputations were tarnished. And I'd love if the guys, if y'all could find the statement from Merrick Garland about this, I'd like to show it. Because not to, you know, beat a dead horse, but understand what really happened here. The federal government issued an official statement, essentially, and not technically, and while they avoided explicitly saying this, what they actually said, in effect, and to every human listening, was to accuse these people of being Russian agents and accuse everybody associated with them of taking money in order to change their coverage in a certain way that was beneficial to Russia and damaging to America. And the Attorney General of the United States of America came out and made this statement and ruined these people's lives and stole all of their money and then caused them to lose all the rest of their money and caused them to take on six-figure legal bills and never even ended up charging with the crime. Okay, he's got to go to jail for that. As far as I'm concerned, he should go to jail for that. I don't think that should be allowed. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, folks. There's somebody else who's very experienced in this stuff. Oh, no.
Call from Netanyahu. You can't talk about this.
Oh, no.
Man, I was just popping. This is the best looking jacket I've ever seen you wear.
Oh, thank you very much. Dan doesn't like it because it messes. It's not good in the camera.
Well, Dan is. No, it's just not story. Just on the show. Great person.
Yeah.
This is beyond the violation of the Eighth Amendment. If she was convicted, this would be cruel and unusual. This is pure terrorism. This is completely illegal. And I agree, this is the Southern District leadership needs to be indicted. Because, you know, they had a bunch of grand juries open on me for a bunch of stuff. My lawyers asked me to never get into it, but the one that hit the news was the colloidal silver.
Yep.
We weren't saying it was a COVID cure or anything near that, but it took me $500,000 a year with that grand jury to have them no-bill me. That's just one example. Only came in to tell you that.
Yeah. No, I remember that. And that's exactly the point. It's like, I don't even have the words to describe what this is. It's just pure tyranny, pure, blatant, outright oppression.
That's why I'm always up here begging for money.
Yeah.
Because in the bankruptcy, I don't even get any money out of InfoWars. It's over 80% of the money I get for at least 7 years. So I technically have made more money the last 7 years because I have to make more, beg for more, but it all goes to lawyers.
Yeah.
So that's what this – people say, well, then, you know, we should just give up. No. They want us off the air because we're effective. So anybody under attack, we got to support. You're awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know –
By the way, I just censored you.
Well, yeah, I got the message. Don't worry.
By the way, that's always been part of the deal. We hire people. I trust them. I like them. And we can disagree and agree on things. When I disagree with somebody and they disagree, that's called a debate, talk radio on air. So any claims of censorship of me having my own opinions is not censoring somebody if I differ on the opinion. But in general, we agree. And when people got hired here, I always told them, sometimes, unless you got a guest, I might pop in with breaking news. I invited all them to come over whenever they want to come on. I didn't put microphones in all the control rooms so they could do it, but nobody ever wants to do it. I wanted this. I don't like Howard Stern, but kind of a Howard Sternian thing where I kind of wanted the crew, like for large parts of the show, popping in, but nobody ever did it. So, again, Owen saying it was mean that I popped in. He always liked it until a few months ago. Now that's censorship, too. So this is how all the misrepresentations worked.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like that. You know, Matt chimes in with me. The problem is you get going on something and we don't want to interrupt. We don't know what you're building up to. It's hard to interrupt you, you know, during a monologue or something.
It's hard to get a word in.
Hard to, yeah.
Well, we start the new network with new owners. I'm gonna go like 20 hours a day, lots of 1 hour shows at Harding News and then a couple shows a day, three or four that are like 2 hours long that are just basically talk show hosts, kind of debate deals. And kind of round tables. And I know you're excited about that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you're wanting to move to afternoons and then move people in the morning, but we're working on all that right now. So I want to thank everybody for your support.
Absolutely.
But remember, never censored him one time. And now you see the headlines. Jones fired Owen. I'm not mad at Owen other than the fact that it was premeditated stunt that we didn't do any of this. That's why and it affects the crew. That's why I got so pissed.
Yeah. Well, no, I always tell the story that literally the first day that I worked at InfoWars, Owen Shore was asking you, Alex. He was going, I think I might cover this. I might cover this. And you just, I remember you saying, say whatever you want. Just tell the truth. And you walked away. And I was like, all right, cool. I like that motto. I like that philosophy. Say whatever you want as long as it's the truth. And that's been the guiding light. That was the first day I started working here. So yeah, again, I don't even have words to describe what's happening to Lauren Chin. It is so out of pocket. It's so in violation of everything we're supposed to believe about our government and its operation. And again, guys, if you're able to find that Merrick Garland clip, because I think he made a public statement, right? I don't think this was just a press release. Maybe it was. Maybe just if you can give me the press release. But I want to actually read what they said or hear what they said, because it was completely baseless. It was utterly, entirely baseless. And just think about if that's the way our government operated. They can just identify a company, come out, make public statements condemning that company, claiming that company are traitors, are receiving money from our enemies to spread, you know, misinformation, destroy these people's lives, raid them in the middle of the night, and then go, oh, never mind, we didn't find anything. Oops, our bad, sorry. And then that's it, and then you're dead broke, and completely, your reputation has completely been ruined, and your enemies have infinite ammo to claim that you're a Russian agent. It's insane that they were allowed to do this. He says, it goes on, still we filed an application to renew our visa and it was reviewed by the USCIS. However, for reasons that are unclear to us, but probably connected to our legal case, this application was never processed. In April, we requested updates from our legal team, but there was still no movement on our case. In July, this culminated in our immigration lawyer's team informing us we had just days to get a passport for our infant child and leave the country or risk an illegal overstay. Didn't they have the baby? Didn't they have the baby here? Wouldn't that be an anchor baby? Well, why can't that be an anchor baby? Or maybe the baby was born in Canada. We are beyond the end of our funds. We have been debanked, cannot borrow. And that's the other thing, right? It's the official punishments, the official costs where you have to fund, you have to pay for lawyers, you have to pay for all that stuff. But then you also have all the social media companies, all the banks, all the credit card processors who look at the announcement from Merrick Garland and say, ah, oh, geez, sorry, we cannot afford to do business with you because you're under this suspicion. And they destroy their lives that way. Again, even though no crime, no charges, no indictments. Still punished to a degree that, as Alex points out, would be unfair, unusual, and cruel even if they were convicted. You know, taking money from a foreign source. Is that even a crime? I mean, Al Jazeera runs offices here. It's only because it's Russia, I guess, and Russia Today. But like, is that something worth losing everything over? Even if they were completely convicted and totally guilty of everything they were accused of, the greatest punishment to me would be I guess for them, maybe deported, a fine, maybe the business has to go into bankruptcy. But that's all. You don't lose every penny that you have. It's just completely insane, especially when you hear some of the other stories that we have from today, where you've got not just, little independent, shoestring and tape media companies, operating, out of their living rooms. But what about like Google? What about, this story, in context with what we're talking about here, how these independent creators took money from somebody they didn't, fully know everything about. I shouldn't even say that. They didn't do anything wrong. If they did anything wrong, they would have been charged. So let me just start that over. This small independent media company who did nothing wrong ever has had their lives absolutely destroyed in every possible way. Meanwhile, you got headlines like this. Google's $45 million contract with Netanyahu's office to spread Israeli propaganda. Google is in the middle of a six-month, $45 million contract to amplify propaganda with Netanyahu's office. This contract describes Google as a key entity supporting the prime minister's messaging. And we can get back into this. I don't want to break off into this right now, but just to put in context really how much the American government hates media outlets taking foreign money to spread propaganda. I mean, when you've got this little, you know, cobbled together media outlet of a couple of young parents working independently to create news, if they take a couple thousand bucks from Russia, you know, they need to be destroyed. If the most powerful single corporate entity in our country, if not the world, is making $45 million contracts with a foreign state to shape American consciousness, I wouldn't even say push their propaganda. It's Google. They can shape your search results. They shape the news that gets delivered to your phone. They can shape, they can determine whether an email is spam or not, right? Hey, maybe the fundraising email for the Palestinian cause, that goes into spam from now on. I mean, you have no idea the number of ways they can manipulate perception, being Google. But that's fine. But that's fine. But you take a couple thousand dollars from Russia and expect your door to be kicked in. There's nothing consistent about this. There's no actual crime being committed and charged at all, but even suspected. And even if there was, even the worst thing they could possibly be accused of or possibly indicted for pales in comparison to just the normal everyday quotidian collaboration between our corporations and foreign powers. This is absurd on so many different levels. So we'll move on, but I just cannot believe that we live in an America where this type of crap happens. GiveSendGo.com/Lauren Chin. Help Lauren Chin fight the DOJ. And, it's like, I encourage you to support these people, but at the same time, I think the American government should be making them whole. I think they need to return all their money. I think they need to pay restitution for the way that they abused them. And I think Merrick Garland and the SDNY leadership that did it to these people have to be arrested. What they did by defaming Lauren Chin has caused more damage to her and her reputation and her life than anything most people have said about, I don't know, famous defamation cases in the past. But they get away with it. Even though it's entirely political. Even though on top of everything, like, okay, so many aspects to this. On top of all of it, it's purely political. Like, this would be bad if it was just, if it was apolitical. If they did this to an outlet that wasn't necessarily political, but just, you know, making content and, you know, apparently they got paid by Russia. Like, it'd be bad anyway. But this is so clearly a partisan attack. This was so clearly the Democratic Attorney General using his power in that position to destroy the right-wing media, independent media landscape in this country, deliberately for a political end. On top of everything else. Today, Native Patriot. All right. That's very good to hear. We've been trying to get Native Patriot on, and we got him on last minute. So 10 a.m. we'll be joined by Native Patriot, and I've been wanting to get him on since I read his very long and thoughtful post, sort of about feeling capped out by Twitter, feeling like the media landscape is just becoming a cesspit, and feeling a little bit demoralized. I want to just bring him on to talk about that, talk about what we can do to remoralize, rejuvenate the fighting spirit on the right, and recapture some of the momentum that I feel like we've lost over the last couple months with what I think a lot of people are feeling like is feeling disappointment in the Trump administration, which is devastating because we've put a lot of hope in that administration. So I guess the question is, do we maintain that hope or do we, you know, find a different path forward? I mean, there's got to be a different path forward anyway because Trump's so old, MAGA's got to be handed off to somebody. I mean, it's going to change in the next few years by necessity. What does that change look like? Where do we go from here? That's what we'll be talking about with Native Patriots. So looks like I may not have time to go to your calls. I don't know. Maybe we'll just, maybe in the last segment, we'll be able to take your calls. Regardless, I hope you go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. Do it this week to take advantage of the Total War fundraiser sale. And these, again, kind of outrageous sales that we have, 25% off store-wide on all apparel, but you also get buy one, get one half off on Atomic Defense and the Chilajit gummies and Chilajit capsules. I still never tried the capsules because I just like the gummies so much. I don't know. I'm sure the capsules are great. Everything that we sell is great, but the Shilajit gummies are so good to me. I've never even tried the capsules, but the Shilajit itself, in whatever form you take it in, is a game changer. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And the war bonds. Go get your war bond today for $100. You get it in the mail with a promo code for $110 in store credit. We're basically paying you $10 to send you a cool souvenir. So I don't know why you wouldn't do that. If you're a regular customer at the Alex Jones store, it only makes sense to do that. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. And we'll move on to some of these other stories. I was wondering if we should, we don't have too much time. But there's some stuff that Alex covered yesterday that I don't think we need to get into again, but it is crazy. The Putin and China's Xi Jinping were heard on Hot Mic discussing life prolonging organ transplants and immortality. Because like I told you yesterday, I mean, the last thing I said as we signed off yesterday was the little reminder that at the bottom of the rabbit hole and at the center, the deep, dark heart of the worldwide conspiracy is the desire for the elites to live forever and the knowledge that they, or the belief that they have, that they will soon be in possession of the technology to live forever. And so they are desperately trying to create a world in which immortality is possible. And this is Putin and Xi talking. And it was weird because it's like they were caught on hot mic, but they were also being translated. So I don't really know how that works. Were the translators on hot mic? Were they caught on hot mic and then the translator came in later? I don't know. But how do you have a hot mic with translators translating in real time? Very strange. Very strange. But yeah, they're talking about how you could basically just replace your organs constantly and never die. Because most people die of old age when their organs give out. And if your liver's given out, you just get a new liver. You just harvest that organ right up from a prisoner that you've thrown in jail for some arbitrary crime that you made up in order to throw him in jail. It's great being a dictator, folks. It's really just, I mean, horrifying. It's inhuman and bizarre, but you get to live forever, so you got that going for you. Yeah, I don't know. All these stories are kind of boring. I don't know. There's a lot of, political stuff going on. Oh, yeah. Well, there's this one. Oh, wait. And then there's this. And this combines with everything else that we talked about to just represent another step forward in the Internet of Things total censorship control grid. What Aura Ring's partnership with the U.S. military means for your data. Aura Ring has announced a partnership with the U.S. DOD, and many online users are not happy about it. This is a health ring that monitors your vitals. And now apparently they have a big contract with the DOD to provide data. Like, all right, is this really what you already have? Everything you could possibly want. Do we really need constant monitoring of our every health signal by the Department of Defense? Great.
Oh, here it is. Bovine Colostrum Plus. This is what I was looking for. This is the only thing that works on a monstrous stomach like mine. If it works for me, it will work for you. Order yours at the website below.
Alex on a top-secret shoreline mission to handpick nature's vitamin-packed sea moss before the globalists patent it. He's scooping it up like it's Cyber Monday in the supplement aisle. But suddenly, the 20-foot-tall sea moss mutant erupts from the tide pool like Godzilla. Alex dashes like he just saw a new Fauci vaccine. Will he make it or become the monster's meal? To be continued.
Welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. We're going to be joined very shortly by Native Patriots, talk about the current landscape of American politics. But I wanted to show a video here and again touch on this article about Google. From dropsitenews.com, Google's $45 million contract with Netanyahu's office to spread Israeli propaganda. They describe Google as a key entity in supporting the prime minister's messaging. And they talk about how this messaging is deployed and for what purpose. For example, when they blockaded all of the food, medicine, fuel, and other humanitarian supplies from entering Gaza, lawmakers in Jerusalem demanded answers not on the devastating human toll of such a decision, but on how Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office was preparing to handle the public relations fallout. And we see this a lot, where it's like, we can't be killing kids. People will find out about it. It's like, okay, that's not the overriding concern, but good to know where your priorities lie. Publicly available government contracts show that Israel's Advertising Bureau, which reports to the Prime Minister's office, has since embarked on a mass advertising and public messaging effort to conceal the hunger crisis. And basically they explain in this meeting, Avichai Adre, a spokesperson for the IDF, who was asked the same question later in the evening about how this humanitarian aid backlash, or how the starvation campaign would experience backlash. He was asked about this, and he assured legislators that work was underway, stating, quote, "We could also decide to launch a digital campaign in this context to explain that there is no hunger and present the data." And so that's what they did. They launched a massive push in the public relations world. The push includes the use of American influencers, widely reported on last month. It also includes a high-dollar spending spree on paid advertising, yielding tens of millions for Google, YouTube, X, Meta, and other platforms. Quote, "There is no food in Gaza. There is food in Gaza. Any other claim is a lie," asserted a propaganda video published by Israel's foreign ministry to Google's YouTube video sharing platform in August, viewed more than 6 million times. Seems a little high. Much of the video's reach results from an ad placed during an ongoing and previously unreported $45 million advertising campaign initiated between Google and Netanyahu's office in June. So this is a little bit contradicted by the video I'm about to show, Andrew Tate, but I think he makes a good point. Let's watch clip two here.
Bro, I'm going to go straight to jail. I'm going to go straight to jail. Let's imagine there was a country which was currently committing a genocide. But why are they committing the genocide so publicly? Because this country, let's say, had complete control and blockade of its enemy for a very long time. Why wouldn't they just make them all infertile by poisoning the food supplies? That would be very easy and nobody would know. Why wouldn't they just poison them slowly? Why wouldn't they just give them all turbo cancer in the medications that they were given? Why wouldn't they just build out a 10-year plan for the population to slowly decrease and eventually just fade away to nothing? There's no reason why they would have to do a big public execution. Why would they be doing this? That doesn't make sense. If the goal is primarily genocide, then the primary objective would be to be not get to get caught. The primary objective would be to commit the genocide without anyone finding out about it so that anybody can talk about it. So if the goal is not genocide, what is the goal? Well, the goal is to be deemed and seen as evil. That is their primary objective. Why use, in this fictional country, why would they use military-grade weaponry on children, which is the height of evil incarnate, unless they wanted the entire world to see them as evil? Well, the answer is simple. By doing evil things, by having the entire world turn on them and seeing them as evil, what does it do to their native population? Their native population will sit there and say, well, everyone hates us now, so I guess we got to stick together.
Nobody likes us. In fact, now it's more important than ever. If I'm a judge and you get caught, you know, looking at kids online, child porn, I'm going to help you out because they're all against us anyway. You know, we have to love each other because there's so much evil out there against us. So now we have to love each other. We have to unify.
So that's Andrew Tate. Again, I'm not the biggest Andrew Tate fan, but I do think that was a very, very interesting point. And whether it's the plan or not, that is the outcome. It's a very sophisticated psychological operation being played on both sides here.
We've got 25% off store-wide for all apparel, but we've decided this week to sweeten the deal by giving you buy one, get one, 50% off for either the Shilajit Complex capsules or the Shilajit gummies. These gummies are delicious. They boost your testosterone, your vitality, and so much more. I take them every single day, and I've noticed a marked difference in my life. It doesn't stop there. We've got buy one, get one, 50% off for Atomic Defense as well. This is designed using ingredients that have been used for thousands of years to boost immune support. So please go to the alexjonesstore.com right now. It doesn't stop there. We are officially launching the Alex Jones War Bonds. You'll see here that there's a code right there. You can pause it. The first person to use this code does get $110 on the store. The way it works is you pay $100. You get this mailed to you. It comes with a custom code that will allow you to get $110 in store credit to the store. So pause it. First person to use this code gets $110, and make sure you show your support at the alexjonesstore.com.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, Native Patriot's having a little bit of technical difficulties, but we're reconnecting with him, and we'll be joined by him shortly. But I got some other, are we connecting? Okay, great. Okay, fantastic. Then I'm very happy to welcome Native Patriot to the show. He is, of course, the co-host of the Cowboys and Indians podcast and the co-creator of the Patriots Prayer Network. You can find him on X at Law Native Patriot. And I suggest you do. I suggest you go follow him. He's one of my favorite followers. Native Patriot, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, man. Thank you for having me on.
It's my pleasure. I don't think I ever told you. I covered your post last week where you're talking about sort of, you're sort of feeling demoralized, I think. And I thought you made some very cogent points, and I just read the whole thing out because I thought, that you put it really well, sort of the experience of Trump's second administration and how hard it is to get ahead on social media. How are you feeling these days about the overall right wing, culturally, politically, the direction we're moving?
Well, it has been a little bit disheartening seeing Trump go in, and he hasn't been a lame duck by any means, but all of the infrastructure that was set up to entrap him or charge him with these crimes and use our tax dollars in very, very wasteful ways, all of that infrastructure is still there. I imagined, maybe naively, when he was elected, that he was going to start bringing these institutions down. The letter agencies, and all the ways that the corruption has been able to thrive over the past several decades. But it sure seems like a lot of it's just done by executive order, and a lot of it has been left in place. You know, I mean, Dan Bongino and Kash Patel, I had high hopes with them going in. And it seems that they would rather put on a good face, for the FBI rather than start bring the institution apart. It's surprising to see how not serious they've been since they've been in office. And I think the right wing has kind of seen a lot of that and have been disheartened as well.
I know I have, and it's not even necessarily that I dislike anything they're doing. I'm just impatient. I'm just like, we do not have time to be slow walking this. Like we're halfway through first year. We're more than halfway. So we're more than, you know, an eighth of the way through. We're It feels like we're already a year in. I mean, it feels like they've been in there forever. And I'm not, I haven't seen any arrest. I haven't seen any. And I hear that there are grand juries summoned and things are happening. And it's like, I just want something to sink my teeth into. I want something to go, okay, yes, we're making progress. People are behind bars. Charges have been filed. I mean, they had Donald Trump in handcuffs getting his mugshot taken, in pretty quick order, and he didn't even do anything wrong. We got a just hive of criminals that we know have been committing the most outrageous and flagrant crimes for the past 4 years. When is something going to get done? So to me, it's just about impatience and knowing that, like, if they don't do what's necessary now to disenfranchise the left, the Democrats are going to sweep back into power and they're going to go insane. They're going to go completely insane. So I don't know how you're feeling about that. To me, it's basically impatience is what drives my criticism.
Yeah, I would say that that's actually a good way to put it. And it seems like when Donald Trump was campaigning, right, there were multiple assassination attempts on him. He got up and he was saying, fight, 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 right? And I was actually really inspired by that. And it's almost like he's forgotten the seriousness of what he's up against, or at least that's what it appears like from the outside, because in a lot of ways, he just wants to be liked. And he wants to restore what the presidency is supposed to be, right? In a certain way, he wants to put on a good face and prove to everybody that I'm not actually that bad of a guy, right? Instead of being an actual bull in a china shop and going around and bring down these institutions that have been wasting our tax dollars, have turned against the American people, have been surveilling us. You know, now we have, we're almost in a worse situation because of the surveillance that they're putting in place on the American people. Right. You know, we have Real ID now. We have, what is that? I can't even remember the name right now, but, with the way that they're going to be screening online activity It's just like we feel like we have some surface area wins, but all of the institutions, all of the giant structures that have turned against the American people, that is the U.S. government as of right now, they're very much still in place. They're very alive, and it's only a matter of time before it turns on us again.
Well, and I wonder how, you know, I think both of us are kind of halting in the way, because it's like, how do you even contend with this? Because it's so deep, the rot. There's a story today. I thought I printed it out, but I don't see it here. Maybe the crew can find it, or maybe it's in the stack. But, you know, RFK Jr., it's like RFK Jr. faces massive insurrection at HHS where they're threatening a mass walkout. And so, you know, in a way, I'm like impatient. I'm like, come on, yeah, here it is. RFK Jr. hit by mass HHS revolt demanding his resignation. It's like, how do you even get anything done when the people underneath you have been programmed by the media to disobey you? It's like you've got entire, you know, organizations within the government who every person to a man is like sees themselves as a resistance member and is undermining everything they're doing. So I think they're achieving more now than they were in their first administration. I think they did learn some lessons from the first administration. But how do you even deal with a rot this deep where the underlings of the people you put in charge are just undermining them and subversive constantly? I mean, so I have a hard time, you know, blaming them for not doing things faster when like the rot is just so deep. How do we even contend with this, man?
Well, Elon Musk said it during when Trump was campaigning. He said that we needed a revolution, that this was supposed to be our revolution, not a revolt, right? I'm not advocating for violence or anything, but we did need a revolution and we still do. We need drastic changes. And even if people are threatening to walk out, you know, this is how the woke have done it for a long time. They will threaten, they will threaten your bottom line, if they don't get their way. I mean, this is how the soft fascism that they've been implementing, the ideologues of the left, they've been implementing it everywhere for a long time, right? I mean, even the transgender, community, how they want you to accept their pronouns. Otherwise they threaten self-harm, and the psychologists go along with it. The doctors go along with it. They will use this as a cudgel against the parents to go along with these, with surgeries or hormonal experimentation and things like that. It, I mean, this is how they have operated for a long time. So there has to come a point where we put our foot down and say, if you want to walk out, then walk out. We will find people to replace you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
We're not going along with this anymore. It's time for Americans as a whole to learn how to say no.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that is such a good point. Actually, it goes right into the next thing I wanted to ask you about, because you made a good point in your post about how the new Nintendo had been sold out and that you're not going to own anything on it. And of course, this is part of a larger trend that we've talked about, really getting to insane levels where, like, cars now, you can't access their full horsepower if you don't pay a monthly subscription, or the heated seats will be disabled unless you pay a monthly subscription. Everything's going into this subscription model, including your houses and your phones and your cars and everything. They genuinely want you to owe nothing, and then people buy it. They go out and they buy the game console where they know they'll own none of it. They don't own the games on it. They don't own the software. And if they want to pull support, then you don't own it. I mean, you are simply paying for the permission to use something on a temporary basis. And yet people are going along with this. Isn't this a time where people should stand up and say no and just go, we're not going to buy something that we don't actually own. If we want to buy something, we want to own it. And this goes again into, it's not just video games, but that's emblematic of everything else. So again, why are people going along with this? What do we have to do to get people to go, I'm not going to go along with the you'll own nothing agenda by purchasing products that have that embedded aspect?
This has been a very tough fight because people, a lot of the time, they don't understand how complacent they've been. And I think this has been one of the main issues with Americans for quite some time, is just complacency and believing that, it'll be fine. It's going to be okay. You know, it's not that big of a deal. I'm only one person, but if we, the people, if we want to retain the power of what we were originally given by the founding fathers, they decided that we, the people, had the power. Well, we have to be responsible enough to wield that power we have to be able to exert it when necessary and be capable enough to have that independence. Because right now we are so dependent on all of the various structures set up. Fathers aren't leading their households. And we as a people just aren't, we're not as independent as we should be. And we've been lulled into this sleep of in complacency for so long that the Switch 2, people are buying. I mean, it was sold out within hours. Yeah. And there was so much controversy with this. And I wasn't even looking into it. I mean, it was like a sidebar. And I was like, well, I'm never going to buy that. That's ridiculous. Why would you ever do that when you can't actually own anything? But then you look at smart meters on houses, and people don't realize that the smart meters on the houses, they'll shut your power off at any time. Most of the newer electronic cars, the point that you were bringing up, the heated seats takes a subscription, right? You can't access the full horsepower. They can shut your car off at any time. With the self-driving, they can now take you anywhere they want. I mean, people aren't willing to put in the work. Like my vehicle is a 1987 Toyota. It's got a 350 small block with a carbureted motor. Everything on it is manual, and I'm willing and capable enough to replace anything and everything once that vehicle breaks, once something on it breaks, because I prefer it to be manual, and I prefer to have ownership of something, because nobody can mess with that, right? Everything is manual. The brakes, it is all manual. So when people aren't willing or capable enough to be able to take a step back from these infrastructures put in place by us, these temptations, the easy road, right?
Yep.
Then we're going to continue going down this path. And I've been desperately trying to figure out how to inspire people to be more independent and to be more self-reliant and capable and stop just submitting to these easy options that they're giving us.
Absolutely. And not to go along, because again, I thought your post was so good. So I'm just sort of like, re-going through it piece by piece, because all these aspects all play into one another. And, you know, you talk about the normalization of these things like abortion, promiscuity, pornography, child grooming at pride events, pride crap taught in schools. And it's like you can't just accept that. And the whole strategy of the globalists is to introduce some insane new horror to the, you know, population and then get everybody just to go, well, I guess that's how things are now. Just accept it, to change their lives and change their beliefs to comport with the new novel concept that they just came up with, rather than just being a stick in the mud and going, no, we're not doing that. I don't care if you're calling it progress. It's weird. It's not normal. We're not going to pretend it's normal. And it's like, how do you convince people? How do you tell people that when it's so obvious? It's like trying to, it's like we're sitting here going, guys, the sky is definitely blue. Trust us. And they're all going, yeah, right. CNN told me it was red. And it's like, it's obviously not normal to be grooming kids. It's obviously not good for them. It's transgenderism is just obviously absurd at the face of it. And yet these people accept it and treat it as normal. And I feel your frustration, because I feel it too, that it's like, if people can't just see this, what am I supposed to say to convince them? And obviously you try to embody it in your own life, but how do you spread that message? And what do you think it's going to take to wake people up to the strangeness of all of this and just get them to reject whatever new thing they come out with? Cause you know, they're going to like pedophilia next. They're going to try to make that legal. I mean, they're going to, who knows where they're going to go? There's no bottom to their evil. So like, at what point are people going to stop normalizing the progress into hell? Because it never ends until you stop it, right? How do we get people to stop it?
I've been a big advocate to unify with a lot of the left, a lot of the regular people, right? Because in everyday life, you can see that your interactions with people, you know, everyday people on the left, or who lean left politically rather, are good. They're okay. But the devil's in the details with that. And I think that we're actually going to have to separate as a country. And you can see the left right now. Washington, Oregon, and California have launched the West Coast Health Alliance. And that's in counter.
Hey, sorry, we lost your audio. I didn't know if that was just my earpiece or something. I'm not sure if you can hear me, Native Patriot. We just lost you a few seconds ago. So, if the producers can, work with Native Patriot, try to get reconnected. Okay. All right. We think you have you again. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Yes.
All right. Sorry. Go on, if you will, please.
Washington, Oregon, and California, they've launched the West Coast Health Line. The left is willing to create new institutions in order to counter Trump. Yet we've been so focused on trying to save or restore them to what we believe that they should be, right? Instead of just accepting the fact that these people don't want to work with us. These people want to target children, and they want to indoctrinate an entire generation coming up. I mean, I don't know if you saw the stat as well, that 28% of Gen Z has been aborted. They're not even around as Americans anymore. And we, for some reason, that is not a national stain on America, as it, I mean, that should have been a gut punch to everybody, that over a quarter of the new generation that was supposed to be here is already gone. They didn't stand a chance. And then they were targeting Gen Z, with this transgenderism and this LGBTQ idea heavily. It's now mandated in schools in like Washington State. I mean, they're teaching children in Washington State in kindergarten sex ed that, some people are boys and some people are girls and some are neither. I mean, that is mandated to be taught in Washington State. And so they're creating new institutions and they're indoctrinating children. And like I said, man, we need to be able to learn how to say no. We need to be able to put our foot down and say no. If they're not going to change their ways and we don't have the electoral power, then we're going to have to create our own areas. We're going to have to create new institutions. We're going to have to create our own spaces, right? There has to be some kind of physical separation and counterforce to what they've been building or to what they have, adopted, hijacked, and have now been wearing as a skin suit of our pristine institutions that we believed, you know, the America that we were taught to believe in is no longer here. And these communists and the left in general have just been, they've taken over and they're not the institutions that we know that they should be. And so we're going to have to create our own.
You know, I used to, here's my thing. I agree with you, but I also hate running away. But what you're describing is not running away. I think what we need to do, because you see a lot on the right, and I think it's been a psyop for a while, that it's just like, oh, you know, your school's teaching gay stuff. Yeah, you better homeschool. Oh, your neighborhood is, you know, a little safe, but better go live in the woods by yourself. Better separate, better dislocate, you know, better individualize, better, you know, atomize. So we're not able to actually achieve anything collectively because we're always just sort of surrendering ground. I agree that we are going to have to create our own spaces, but it has to be done with the initial concept being we're going to consolidate and then expand. Because I don't want to run away. I don't just want to cede ground because you know that's not a viable option. You know that even if you could create your own little thing, not bothering anybody, I mean, they're still going to come for you, right? There's something about seeing people living, you know, moral Christian lives that like they want to destroy it and they'll come for us. And if we cede all the ground and they have everything, it'll be no issue for them to come for the little pockets of communities that still exist. So I want to consolidate, create our own system, prove its efficacy, with the intention from the beginning of we're consolidating to then expand and not let them come at us, but actually go after them and fix it that way. So, I mean, do you see what I'm saying though? Cause I don't like the idea of like, well, we just need to give that up. We need to separate because I just know they're going to come for us. So how do you separate, create your own communities without then just becoming an eventual target for destruction of them, but by them?
Well, I think that we can take a lot from what Trump did to the Republican Party and learn from his mistakes, because he definitely has made mistakes and is still making mistakes. But Trump came in and changed the Republican Party forever, right? It's now MAGA.
Yep.
And there's this entire faction that came in and took over all of the space to where the GOP used to be. And I mean, there's still a lot of them in there, but that's the way we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to, I mean, if it's going to be your school, you're going to have to find like-minded parents. You're going to have to be active in your kids' lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to take intentional actions, and not just sending your kids off to school and hoping that everything's going to be all right, because that's not the way it is anymore. They've been targeting us from in every single aspect of our lives. So, When Trump initially came in and he started running as a Republican, he decided to create his own version of it. And it allowed a lot of the patriots of this nation to kind of coalesce around him. And in doing that, he was able to have enough power to basically subvert the Republican authority at the time. And he stepped over them and he took over the institution. So that's going to have to be similar to what we're going to have to do as the American people, in our local elections, in our schools, in our communities in general. But they have to be intentional actions. It's not just going to happen. Somebody else isn't going to just do it. You're going to have to be active. You're going to have to be aware, and you're going to have to pay attention and deliberately say no when you have to.
Yep.
And I think that's the only way forward. I mean, It's going to be difficult to inspire a lot of people to do that, though. That's the hard part.
Yeah, well, but you know what? I think people will see that it's worth it, because tell you what, it might be a little bit harder to, you know, make my own school, but I think it's worth it so my kid isn't, you know, being put in a dress secretly when I don't know. I mean, it's getting so crazy. People, I think, are going to recognize that it's worth the effort that it takes. And you're exactly right, and it echoes what I always say, which is they're not going to ask you, right? They're not saying, well, there's a Nintendo that you can own the games, Nintendo that you don't own the games. Which would you like? And you get to pick, oh, I'll take the one where I own the game. No, they're just giving you the one where you don't own the games. It's up to you to say no and not go along with it and comply to it. Because they're not asking you. They're trying to force you. You have to interdict and stop them from doing it. Native Patriot, incredible stuff as always at La Native Patriot on X, thepatriotsprayer.com. Keep up the great work, man. I hope you're not too black-pilled, because I think you do incredible stuff. You're very inspiring, and I encourage everybody to go follow Native Patriot at Law Native Patriot on X. Thanks for being with us, man.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
The last 5 years, I've had all these scientists on promoting spike protein detoxes that have saved so many people and done all this. And finally, we're like, hey, we better do our own. Let's make the best. We take the two best-selling ones. combine the two with stuff that the government tried to ban so people would die. And yeah, we're selling stuff that really works. Tell us about Ultimate Life Force. It's a horse pill. I take it a few times a year as a detox. So good for cardiovascular. Just one of the ingredients in this alone is on record a game changer they tried to ban.
Right.
This is so important.
N-acetylcysteine, better known as NAC, was widely available pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, during COVID, they took it off Amazon because it was too powerful. Too many people were getting well from it. They say, okay, this isn't a supplement. This is a drug. Now, we're not making that claim. This is a supplement, but it is a supplement that is so powerful it could be used and compared to something like that.
And what is NAC?
N-acetylcysteine is the main precursor to your body's master antioxidant, glutathione, right? Glutathione is what your body uses to detoxify everything. But most importantly, your lungs. NAC reduces lung mucus and is incredibly powerful. This is rocket fuel. This is the gasoline. This is the fuel you need to make the glutathione. But more importantly, even than that almost, I was taking a look at Ultimate Life Force, and I forget about these things. These things are something that they wanted to ban even more. The natokinase and the serapeptase, those are compounds that go in and break down blood clots and scar tissue and inorganic things in the body. That's for the spike protein. The cool thing is everybody, every human can get healthy. It just takes different specific steps to get healthy. And that's why becoming knowledgeable about...
Well, that's like breeds of cows. They're like, these cows can handle the heat. These cows can't. These cows can handle cold. They can't. These dogs can handle this. These can't. We're all dogs. We're all cows. We're all the same species, but there's certain things each group can't handle.
No, 100%. I agree with that. And it's so key. I mean, the reason why Methylene Blue has just been such an incredible hit to the audience and to the supporters, listeners, to us, everyone, is because, well, like, we really feel the effect, you know?
It's like the Garden of Eden. God made all these things to work together.
It's all there. The information's readily
available. No, it's absolutely incredible. These are great products. They fund the operation. And, folks, it's common sense. Go get them. TheAlexShowStore.com. Get the bovine colostrum, get the methyl drive, get the power plant, get the methylene blue, get it all.
What's cool about supplements, at least to me, is you're able to look at these different genetic groups, and then you can go, okay, they need help with this one thing, we got a compound for that.
All we did was go out with the top-selling products for all the studies and just combine them together.
100%. And I mean, you look at this product, the NAC alone makes it worth buying, but you've got four or five other things in there directly targeted to addressing COVID and long COVID.
People say, well, I don't have COVID right now. The point is, it's good for you, period.
100%. We've all got scar tissue in us. We've all got issues. We've all got these inorganic compounds, these microplastics. When you look at something like Ultimate Life Force, it might be able to address some of those situations. You look at this, you look at the other products we're offering you, it's kind of hard to do an individual pitch for them because they're all so amazing. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our Ultra Methylene Blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any, like, man or woman, young and old, if you're on Methylene Blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take. Well, this is something so powerful they tried to ban it.
So the Methylene Blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is the nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal, final segment of today's broadcast. We're going to open up the lines for your calls. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call here on the American Journal. And we'll take those just as soon as they start coming in to get to as many as possible. I still have some more videos to go to, including what I'm seeing is a lot of attention towards something that we've been talking about for a while, which is good, but the attention is only being gathered there because the problem continues. The problem I'm talking about is
Chinese fishing fleets, so large you can see them from space, traveling around systematically, denuding the entire ocean of life. So, again, the Chinese fishing fleets are a problem that we've been talking about for years. Every time I talk about it, I'm shocked that more people aren't outraged and horrified by what's going on. And it's one of those things like, you know, what does it take? It sort of shows how powerful the mainstream media still is, because since they don't talk about this, it just isn't a thing. Like, just nothing's being done about it. You never hear anything about this on the mainstream media. You don't see documentaries about it. You don't see politicians saying this is something we have to worry about. You definitely don't see any of the climate change environmentalist groups speak a single word against this. Even though every like 3 months on X, this blows up and becomes viral and, you know, is obviously a horrifying thing that everybody would care about if they knew. But I guess just because it doesn't have mainstream investigations on it, nothing's being done about it. Nobody seems to care. It's crazy. Like, the first time I covered this was like a couple years ago. And I was like, man, as soon as I expose what's going on, this is going to blow up. This is going to be a huge thing. This is going to go viral. Because it was so crazy, and I never heard anybody talk about it. I mean, I covered this probably in 2023, maybe before. I mean, it was a while ago, and I found it on some forum post somewhere. And I covered it being like, I'm about to break this story, and it's going to go nuts. And then nobody cared. Nobody cared. It's crazy. And then, like, every, like, 6 months from then on, somebody will post an image going, oh, yeah, you know there are giant fishing fleets from China that so big you can see them from space and their entire floating cities, and they just illegally poach tons and tons and tons of fish. Yeah, so here's the latest video. This is what the Chinese fleet is doing off the coast of Peru right now. Taking all of their giant squid, fishing all of their giant squid. So just this gigantic mass of ships. Now, some of those are coming from Lima. Those must be the, you know, local Peruvian ships going to the fishing grounds. But for China, they don't ever disembark at the ports where they're fishing. They have what they call a mothership system where all of their supplies go to and come from China. So they might park off the Peruvian coast, you know, until everything in the waters is dead, but they never actually go into port in Peru. They never actually benefit the Peruvian economy. They are just taking all of their fish and sending it back to China. So again, I'm glad people are paying attention to this again. I don't know which is going to come first. The awareness of this problem necessary to fix it, or we all die because there's no more fish in the ocean. Like, what? I guess one of these two things is going to happen. Because they're systematically eliminating life in the ocean. China's distant water fleet turns towards Chilean ports after Peruvian crackdown of IUU fishing. Again, how this is, I mean, you know, maybe this is like the kill shot for the climate change agenda, where like, I don't want to hear about any environmental anything ever again until you deal with Chinese fishing fleets. I think anybody talking about global warming, you just go, hold on. What about the Chinese fishing fleets? And if they don't care about that or don't know about that, they're not environmentalists. They're scammers. They're grifters. If you aren't focusing on this, I don't think you're an environmentalist, because this is, to me, far and away the biggest ongoing crime against the environment that I can imagine. Oh, but they want you to stop eating meat, and they're going to, you know, put a audio recorder in your car to fight climate change. I don't know. I don't know what it's supposed to mean or do, but that is what they're doing, and that is what they're predicating it on. Peru's giant squid fishery facing worst crisis in history. Gee, I wonder why. SCS Probing Initiative posted that video, the satellite view of Chinese fishing illegally in unreported, unregulated vessels swarming in Peruvian waters. There's nothing to hype about, First, those fishing vessels are active beyond 200 nautical miles of Peruvian waters and high seas. Second, China and Peru have signed fishery agreements for several decades. That allows Chinese fishing vessels to fish in some Peruvian waters under Peruvian surveillance. But this is what they do. They stay just outside of the, you know, legal limit. They're technically in international waters, but it's the waters that Peru relies on to get its fish. So it's one of these, I'm not touching you. Oh, we're in international waters. We're not technically in Peruvian waters. It's like, okay, but we're all going bankrupt, so stop. So you have to stop now. I don't see a solution to this other than blowing them up, to be honest with you. Because they are in international waters. I mean, they can technically do this. But I think we should stop them. I think we should go to war to stop them. Will Tanner at Will_Tanner_1. These Chinese fishing fleets are so large, they're visible from space and work as vacuums, vacuuming up the ocean over which they pass dry of life. It's horrific. It has destroyed fisheries off South America in particular. Paired with that, the PRC destroyed 95% of Florida orange groves with an orange blight that once only existed in China until it suspiciously showed up on our shores and wrecked the citrus industry. Further, the PRC was caught smuggling wheat blight into Michigan, which would have decimated the wheat crop had it succeeded. And the emerald ash borer that has wiped out ash forests came from the PRC. The PRC has been a blight on the natural world and so far faced no consequences for destroying vast forests and oceans. And this is from last year, I believe, I was 22. And this was probably when I first started covering it, because this was the fleet that I first saw, the Argentina coast. Dark fleets, bright lights off Argentina's coast. Every year, the night sky off Argentina's sea shelves is set ablaze by China's distant water fishing fleet, the world's largest illegal, unreported, and unregulated IUU fishing offender. Known as squid jiggers. What did you just call me? The hell did you just call me? Squid jigger? Squid jigga. I mean, this is a soft A, like in rap songs. Known as squid jiggers. The vessels employ hundreds of brilliant bulbs to draw short-finned squid from the deep. Oh, that's why they're so bright. I never realized that. Although the lights are bright, the vessels are known to regularly switch off their automatic identification system, which broadcasts the ship's identity and position, a practice called going dark. So they go dark in order to, you know, hide from the authorities on land, who might not like their fisheries being depleted by Chinese jiggers. Bunch of jiggers out there. That's what it says, folks. This is from American University. I'm not the one making this up. I wish I was. So all jokes aside, it's crazy that this continues to happen and has for years, and nobody's doing anything about it. Like, what do we have to do? I don't know. What do we do? What do we do to make something a big story? What do we do to capture national attention? What do we have to do? Can a politician comment on this? Can the mainstream media pick this up and talk about it? Or does, like, Greenpeace need to just start carrying out, you know, terrorist acts against them? Maybe that could get some attention. I don't know. But I want the Chinese to stop killing everything everywhere, please. I mean, look, folks. God bless the Chinese people. But China is a plague on the planet in every possible way. Like almost in a metaphysical sense. Orange groves in Florida wiped out by a pathogen from China. You know, wheat, whatever, you know, destroying everything from China. Destroying forests, this thing from China. When COVID broke out, I went through and investigated the biggest pandemics or epidemics in world history. Every single one of them started in China. The Black Plague came from China. SARS came from China. COVID came from China. There's something about China that it is just a factory of disease and blight and plague. I don't know why. But then also their behavior contributes to it, as they systematically denude entire portions of the planet of any life existing there. So I think they're our enemy. I think they're humanity's enemy, to be honest with you. Not on an individual level, you know, love Chinese people, but why is every plague in the history of the world come from your country? There's a lot of countries out there. Why is China the only one where all of the sickness comes from? What is that about? Can you explain that to me? Is it because you eat mice while they're still alive? Is it maybe has something to do with the dietary practices? Could be. But there's something metaphysical going on here. I made a graphic of that, but it may have been on an old, account. But there was like there's a graphic of all the biggest plagues in human history, the Black Plague, the whatever, the every one of them was from China. Every single one. Ones you haven't even heard of. But killed, you know, 100 million people in the 1800s. Every single one comes from China. So, maybe one thing, if it was like they all came from in the Eastern Hemisphere, that would be more, you know, reasonable. But one country in the world is the source of every single major plague? What sort of black magic witchcraft are they getting up to, exactly, to be the source of that? None of them come out of India. Nothing comes out of Japan. Nothing comes out of Mongolia. Nothing comes out of Africa. It's all out of China. Anyway, it's just, it's very, very, very weird. So we should go to war with them. Bart has called in on line one. Thank you for calling in, Bart. We'll go to you in just a second, boys. We can go to line one here. You're on the air, Bart. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I want to talk about, this is kind of gross. I had a wart on my face. And it was like definitely looked like it was cancer, 95% chance. I think it was cancer, it was bleeding. I took the liquid form of the methylene blue with a swab and put it on it, put a Band-Aid over it. It's 90% gone. It's totally almost gone. It's just like a miracle.
What?
Number two, I want to talk about Owen Schroyer's situation. I called into his live stream the other night. I have mixed feelings about it. Because Owen took my first call on InfoWars, and 600 calls later, I noticed like about 2 years ago, Owen wouldn't take my calls anymore because how many Barts from Georgia do you have calling in? I'd be like second caller, third caller, and he just blow me off and wouldn't take my calls.
Mm.
And but anyway, you know what? If I had Owen's job, I would do it for free, and I would probably pay money for it just to have his job. It's such a great honor. So if you're listening, Alex, I'm volunteering.
You just call in. You just be the permanent call-in host. Now I appreciate it. Well, look, I admit, you know, some of you guys are really fast off the mark. Some of you guys get in every single time we open up phone calls, and I tend to try to find names that I don't recognize first. But I also have a terrible memory, so I also go to the same people over and over. But also, some of you guys are really good callers, so I want to hear what you have to say. But to defend Owen a little bit, I also tend to do that. If I recognize a name, I might skip over it. And it really has nothing to do with you personally. It's just like, I just want variety. And I know our listeners are like, they want variety too. So it's just about trying to maintain the freshness of the show. So I got to defend him a little bit on that. But I appreciate what you're saying. And I also, I don't know. Again, I don't even want to get into it, but you know, he was running his own show. I run my own show. I do Moonbase Live on Wednesdays. And Alex lets us do that. And so, you know, and I have my, you know, whatever it's called, affiliate link, right? TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison. There are a lot of benefits. There are a lot of, it's really easy. It's really nice being an InfoWars host. So I just don't get the complaints, to be honest with you. But then again, I don't know what else I would be doing if I wasn't working here. I might be dead in a ditch if I didn't have this job. So maybe I just appreciate having a roof over my head. Thank you again for the call, Bart. Let's go to Valerie in Kentucky now. Thanks for calling in, Valerie. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison.
Hi.
I buy all the products. I pray for you all the time. I watch you every morning. I'm on break, so I'll be quick. Pastor Lance Wallnow is based in Dallas, Texas. He would be great to have on your show. He talks about the seven mountains of culture. And as Christians, just what you were saying, we cannot withdraw from society because that's how we've gotten in the mess we're in, is they've taken over entertainment, business, government, and we have got to take a stand and all group together. Yeah. And I pray for you all the time. And I do have you on speed dial, but a lot of times I don't call in to give somebody else a chance to. And Massey, Marjorie Taylor Greene, 2028. Woohoo!
Absolutely. Thank you for the call, Valerie. Lance Wall now. I just looked him up. I'll look into him. It's funny. We have another preacher that I'm going to invite on. Similar kind of thing. And this is really what we need. I've been saying this since the entire time I worked at InfoWars. If we could activate the American church, if I could give this audience homework, it's like, man, just talk to your pastor. Just bring it up. Just like, shouldn't the church be a little bit more involved in our lives? Shouldn't we have cultural say here? Because it's not enforced. It's a thing churches choose. They choose not to be involved in worldly affairs. They could be. I mean, there are certain restrictions to maintain a, nonprofit designation as a church, but so you can't actually go out and endorse specific candidates. But I'm sick of, churches talking about the vicissitudes of Corinth in the first century. It's like, we got stuff going on here. Like, it relates to all the stuff that was going on in the Old Testament days or the New Testament days. But why would you not apply that here? And I've told the story many times, but my dad approached our pastor in Houston, big church in Houston, and was saying this, was like, it was during an election season. He's like, there's all these people who are basically pro-crime running in Houston. That's not good. You should speak up against that. And the guy's like, well, the church has no role in that. And it's like, well, only because you're choosing not to have a role in that. Why would you not speak up against crime? Like, I don't know. It's very weird the way Christian churches have decided that they just have nothing to do with the world around them. They just have nothing to do with, like, they'll go serve homeless people food, but that's, like, as far as they go. And it's like, no, you should be active in politics in one way or another. You should be telling your congregation not to vote for abortion, not to vote for wars overseas, not to vote for liars. Like, that, you're supposed to be spiritual guidance of this country, and you have abdicated and abandoned that role. And I think we have a responsibility to drag our churches back into the real world and actually become a force for positive change rather than just, a place to go on Sunday. So I plan on having more pastors that are of that same mindset. Thank you for the call, Valerie. Alex in Northern Virginia, you're on the air. Recent tests in Virginia. Chemtrails, is that what you're saying?
Hey, good morning, handsome Harrison.
Good morning. Just
keeping Pat Corlin alive. What's going on?
Doing my best.
Oh, is that a coffee cup on your table? Or are you just happy to hear from me? So listen here. Yesterday they had military jets flying over, and I wasn't able to get on and let you know. So they had military jets flying over for about 40 minutes, four at a time, and they kept lapping. And really? They were also running naval tests. Apparently, it was going to be a loud noise eventually. I didn't hear anything from the part on where I'm at, but they said it had nothing to do with flyovers.
Hmm.
So that's yesterday.
There's been a lot of activity like that. I keep seeing people post. People are monitoring the Pentagon pizza chart. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but basically whenever something big happens, okay, it was the Polish president's visit to the White House. All right, I think the crew solved the mystery, Alex. It was a military flyover.
Right.
For the Polish president's visit. That may have been what you were saying.
Oh, for the Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well then. What about the UFOs, quote unquote, that I'm seeing in the sky? We're going to say that's for another. Is that for another president?
There's
been a rash. Everybody that's listening to me that's in the Northern Virginia area, please start looking up every day. Lately, I've been seeing things in the daytime. I got a video. I didn't upload it to my True Social yet because I got to clean up the video. But a friend of mine that I'm talking to right now, she said most of what we see in the daytime is the military.
Mm.
She said the military has stuff that sits up there, and what they're doing is perfectly illegal, is what I was told. She also said they have the tech.
Whatever you have, Alex, I don't know if you have an X account, but if you want to DM me, we don't typically do a lot of like UFO stuff, but if it's something that like one of our listeners captures and it's a piece of unknown technology, I'd love to see it and air it and see if we can't get some, clarification on what exactly it is. So if you ever do get a good video of it, please DM me or just let us know somehow, because I know we've had other callers say very similar stuff, including Clown Car yesterday was mentioning that. In fact, we'll go ahead and go to Clown Car now. Clown Car, you just heard Alex from Northern Virginia talking about the UFOs he's been seeing. I know you've seen some as well. You haven't seen any recently, have you?
I have not. Captain Clown Car, reporting for duty, sir. Listen, I have a big problem with this Epstein list. I'm starting to think that it's way more than what we think. It's not just girls being kidnapped and raped. I think they're all being murdered. Mm. And, you know, that's the reason why, you know, murder, there is no time limit. So this whole thing is considered a continual criminal enterprise. And if anyone is in direct contact with one murder, you know, you're talking hundreds of kids that disappeared. Do you know what Sephora Island is? That's Jeffrey Epstein Island. It was owned by the guy from Sephora, who owned a cosmetic company. In order for him to do testing on animals and humans, he needed to do it on that island. Mm. That's why that island isn't this luscious, beautiful house. It's a friggin' hospital, and they're doing experiments there. You know, we forget Jeffrey Epstein was doing DNA experiments with Bill Gates. Like, what's up?
It gets so creepy. It gets so good when you get into Zorro Ranch, and I mean, they're constantly finding. There's a story yesterday where they found 100, but this is sort of, you know, tangential, but they found like 100 body parts in a mass grave in the desert. Did y'all see that story? And it's like, okay, where did these people come from? Where's their 100 missing people? Were they picked up on different places? Like, you have no idea the depth of depravity. I think you're exactly right. I think that goes some way to explain the bizarreness around the Epstein list. Is, yeah, it wasn't just about, you know, getting a massage from a young lady. It was very disturbing. Well, I mean, dude, look at the spirit cooking and the, anyway, it's disgusting. But yeah, I think you're right. Hold on, Clown Car. I'm sorry. I want to go to one more call because I haven't gotten to that many. Chris in Alabama, thank you for the call, as always, Clown Cart. Chris, go ahead. You're on the air. 1 minute left in the show.
All right. Thank you, brother. Good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
Man, I try to make this quick. Let me start out by saying, if you guys are on Twitter, you need to start following the General at 1776 General.
Yep.
Rush 1776. And myself, country_ain't_ya, and he promotes what's called the Ethnic American Project.
Hmm.
And man, I learned so much there, and everybody that I see on there, dude, it's just give it a shot.
Ethnic American Project. Okay, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll look that up.
There's a website. It's actually ethnicamerican.org, or it may be theethnicamerican.org, but I know it's .org, right? Man, y'all really get in there and check that out. And that guy has some awesome. I mean,
is that the logo the crew's bringing up? That's cool. Yeah, the logo is the Blind Justice, which I've heard invoked several times in the last few days. That's interesting. Thanks so much for the call, Chris. I'll check that out. Thanks everybody for tuning in. We will of course be back here tomorrow morning. The Alex Jones Show starts in 90 seconds. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to support everything that we do here. And we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Stay tuned.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I didn't know he was taking our ultramethylene blue, so I said, oh, with all our guests, we asked him to take it, and you just gave me your brief testimony, so I would look, because I mean, this isn't BS. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes it. It's good for your cells. If you're on SSRIs, you can't take it. It's very serious. We have the strongest, and it funds this operation. You want to get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Medical grade, USP grade, the best. Ultramethylene blue. So you sort of give me your testimony saying you love it. I said, hold on. I don't want to know. I want you to tell people on air, William. So when did you get it? What was the effect?
So I've been a health nut, people call me, all my life.
Well, you look super young for your age. So.
And so I thank God that I've been healthy. And when I take most supplements, a lot of people say, oh, you'll feel, you know, this big surge. And normally I don't. I just think, okay, I'm doing something right for my body and for my brain. And with methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy. It helps me I keep a lot of late hours. I'm talking to people over in Europe or over in other continents, and so my biorhythms get all messed up, and so it really helps me with my sleep. And
well, be honest, though, because you're saying your doctors, others told you to do it, just like mine did 6 years ago. I got it, USP, didn't really have the effect. My wife liked it, so she's been on it. We tried different brands. This one, I'm not trying to differentiate, it's just true. It's been way stronger for me. If you do have other brands you took that are as good or better, I want to know, because if there's something better, we'll go with them.
I haven't found anything better.
Now, back to our program.